Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, and good to be with you. It's another Live Prophetic Talk Show, where we actually do it more than we talk about it. That is, we like to pray for people, minister to people every night, and especially on Wednesdays, we do our special Wednesday night where we prophesy to every person that calls in, and that's the way we like to do it. So we're so grateful to God for giving us that idea and open that up to us so we can try our best to help people in the prophetic realm, and prophesy and build up people. And I'm so grateful for God to bring us what he's brought us. This has really been cool and amazing. All right. Good to be with you tonight. Hello. I guess everybody's doing okay. I'm doing pretty good. Just still working on some building stuff and some things, opening, stirring around a little bit there. It's kind of hard to explain it all without being able to tell you what's going on, but just pray with me about all that. So we're looking forward to a lot of cool things to go on with the studio, and we'll just see what goes on. All right, let's let you know when things get rolling there where I can. All right. All right, praise God. It is Thursday night. We're going to be taking communion tonight. Hope you have your communion ready. I think you're ready to do that here in just a little bit. So make sure and get tuned in somehow or another. Be listening so we can partake of the Lord's body and his blood together and enter into that place so that we can fellowship with him in that very special way. All right? Very cool. If you want to give tonight, you can do that. If you don't have the link, you can get the link. If you already have the app, you know how to do that. Very awesome. Also, the PayPal, if you have PayPal, and you like to do PayPal, we can get you set up with that where you can give through there. Just send me the link. All right. I kind of gathered everything together here, so give me just a moment as I kind of go back and forth here with this information. We'll give it a couple last minute. So we've got to jump in there and go for it. All right, we're going to be talking about some different things tonight. I'm not sure exactly where we're going to go, but we're going to go somewhere. And hopefully it'll be able to bless you in a really great way. All right, so if you want to give tonight, make sure and let me know about that. And we will let you know. We'll send you the link, actually, is what we'll do. I will get that link to you and supply you with the link so you can get it and give to PayPal. And if you know how to give on the app, then do that. All right. So there's other ways to give too, but those are the main ways. If you have any other questions about giving and want to help us in that, and plant seeds into God's kingdom through PGN, we would love to have that. We love it. We love it when people give, and it's really, really awesome. And it's a joy. We pray over offerings every Thursday. As everybody knows, we pray over everybody all during the week. And if you give offering, then we pray over that too. So really, really cool. All right. Thank you so much for all your giving and all your help for PGN. I believe that when you give to God through PGN, God will bless you. I really believe that. Like I know he does. So it's really awesome to watch him do it. And if you're being faithful to God and doing it God's way, then it will work. It always works. Amen. Okay, let's see here. Some of you think doing on Thursdays. all right, so good to be here, and we're going to be sharing a little bit of different things tonight. I'm sure Jack, where we're going to have some ideas of what I want to talk about, what I think God wants me to share with some of you, how the blessings of God, how one of the things that God's been showing me is how, you know, certain women, how women are used in a big way to protect the seed of Christ, to really care for the kingdom of God. And without some of them, I'm going to show you at least one person. There's several of them, but one person who, one lady, one woman who was used mightily by God to keep the seed pure, to keep, to make sure that God's will was being done. Where an angel or God spoke to this woman and told her some things, and she went to a lot of trouble to make sure it happened. A lot of trouble, put her life at risk, and I don't know if her life, literally her life at risk, but she put her, you know, some relationships at risk, and she was determined to make sure God's work was going to be done, and it's in the Bible, of course, we're talking about. All right, I think you guys know that. And you know, we still have the same thing today. We have great women who God uses to, you know, do a lot of things in the kingdom of God. So tonight I'm going to talk about one of them and why, you know, God's blessings keeps being passed down. It's not just the men, it's the women, and how they've shared together, even to this day, of course, in making sure the blessings of God get poured out on God's people and get, that God's will gets done, actually. And so so if God's will is not getting done, friend, what's happening? The enemy's will is getting done. And if the enemy's will is getting done, then we're in trouble, right? Yeah, so he has to raise up somebody to protect and keep and watch over what God has given. And with a great risk, this one particular woman that I'm going to talk about tonight in the Bible risk, you know, her reputation, her intimate relationship with her husband, really endangered that, took a chance on really messing up. Because it wasn't common what she did, but she did it because God showed her. And when God showed her, she did it. So it's amazing. So we're going to talk about that tonight, how that women, one of the women I'm talking about tonight, and there's something God's been showing me about how the will of God gets done in so many different ways. And so we're going to talk about that tonight and talk about how that God has used women to make sure that the kingdom of God is taken care of, when sometimes men can slack a little bit, you know. I know none of y'all believe that can happen, but it can. Some of you know it can happen, right? Yeah, you've been there, done that. And so, you know, sometimes men can be a little bit slack. Sometimes men can be, you know, on top of things like nobody. It depends. And women have had to jump in there and make sure the will of God was being done at risk of their own lives, their own, you know, relationships and all kinds of things. So, yeah, so it's very, very, very important to find that out and know that God may choose you to do a very similar thing. All right? So you got to know that. And, yeah, and be ready for when God calls you to do something, to do some things. You know, Abraham was great at risking, you know, the life of his son, giving Isaac up at the You know, you know, he had to be hearing the voice of God before he offered up his own son, right? He had to be hearing the voice of God for sure, because if anybody was close to family idolatry, what we, you know, call family idolatry, it might have been him, right? Because, you know, he was, you know, Isaac was given to him. He and Sarah really messed up, as we all know. Sarah came up with a really good idea, and it was just not a good idea from God, the problem. Sarah was trying to make sure that the kingdom of God get passed down too. That's not the one I'm going to talk about tonight, but you know, she was working at, you know, making sure, you know, that God's kingdom was going to come forth and God's will was going to be done. And even if she was working some of it herself, you know, she was going to, you know, she had a passion for that. And yeah, so really, when you start seeing, you know, that it always takes somebody to stand up and maybe go an extra mile, so to speak, to go, you know, pay the price a little bit more than others do. And sometimes a woman is called to do that, and they do it very well, I might add. Yeah, very, very well. And so some of you tonight are women, you're listening, so we're going to talk about you a little bit tonight and the blessing of God on some of the women in the Bible. We're going to be talking about some of those. It's been brought to my attention just recently, in a particular way, and so I'm very happy to do this for the Lord to let everybody know that, hey, you know, God uses all of us, every one of us, really are amazing, really amazing. Okay, all right. Plus, I'm waiting for a few more people. Again, we're going to be taking communion tonight, so get ready for communion. If you don't have your communion cup, get that ready. We're going to be doing that tonight, and going to be believing God. I don't know what we're going to focus our communion on yet, if anything. We may just take it and leave God for whatever. But I have no specific thing as I know of yet. It is sometimes you have to be willing to pay the price for it and break tradition. Break tradition. This woman I'm talking about broke a tradition that was, you know, really handed down by God. But you know, just like with Jesus, when Jesus prayed when he told the woman who asked him to cast out the devil out of her daughter, and she was a Gentile, and Jesus said, "Well, the children's bread, I can't give it to the dogs." She said, "Well, the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table." And what did Jesus do? He broke protocol. He did. He just broke it right there. So it just shows you that sometimes we have to be led by the Holy Spirit and to break protocol sometimes, to you know, step out and go be above and beyond what the rules are, so to speak, you know. And obviously he didn't offend God, the Father, or he would have been in sin, right? So he did good. And then he did it with another Gentile also, because God loves everybody, you know. And the thing about Jesus, even though he was a Jew, and he was fulfilling God's will and God's word and God's law, he was fulfilling God's law, and that was, he was taking the bread, you know, salvation to the Jews first, what the Bible says. And so that had to be done. That was the gospel. That was the way it was supposed to be. And he was fulfilling that. And yet, at the same time, he kind of broke protocol, if you will, and healed a Gentile, cast a devil out of a Gentile woman. I mean, and he gave the bread to the Gentile, right? Which he said he wasn't going to do. He wasn't supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to do that. And he did. So sometimes we have to be ready to break protocol. And of course, we got to make sure God's speaking to us. You know, if God's speaking to us, then we know that. If God's not speaking, then we don't want to do that, right? So we're going to make sure God's speaking, and then we can do things that are maybe out of the ordinary, not sinful things. Although what she did looked sinful. What this woman did looked kind of sinful in a way, yet when God tells you something's going to be, it's not sin. It's like when Abraham offered up Isaac, that was kind of like considered, you know, offering up your child to idols, except he wasn't offering his child up to idols, right? He was offering him up to God. But how many times did God ever ask somebody to offer up their child? One time that I know of, other than his own son, Jesus, right? So, you know, so it was a very odd thing that Abraham did when you think about it. how that the places that he came from, they offered up their children on altars to the to demons. And he's going like, what's this going to look like? So there's things that I think God wants us to be aware of, and I'm kind of prophesying to you. I'm kind of speaking as a prophet tonight. I don't just teach. I'm not really a teacher. I share what God gives me, and it looks like a teaching. It acts like a teaching, and therefore it's kind of a teaching, but it's not really a teaching. It's more of a prophet's view, of what God is saying. And so and we see that all through the Old Testament, where you saw a prophet's way of handling things. You know, the way God used men and women, mostly men in the Old Testament, but he used a lot of women too. You know, we're going to go through some of that. And so, you know, it was truly amazing how that, God did things. And so prophets are, just people that, they hear from God and they pay a price for it, men and women, right? Yeah. Okay, so let's just break the mystery tonight. Who are we talking about? You'll understand when I tell you. Hang on a second. Let me get my computer Bible opened up here. And let's take a look at this. And because I want you to remember that I'm prophesying to you, right? I'm not just coming up with something cute, pretty, and whatever. To talk about something before we take communion, as I think most of you know, I'm speaking as a prophet of things we're going to see God do, and in particular with women, God's using women to do things, very unique things, and we're going to see that happen. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So let's go here and look at this. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Go through Genesis chapter 25, and look at Genesis chapter 25 for a moment. This is talking about Isaac, Rebecca and Isaac. Remember, Rebecca was kind of the miracle girl. If you remember back how Rebecca got into the family, the patriarch family, is that Abraham was didn't have anybody for his son to marry. His son was getting up in age. I don't know if he was 20, 17, 20. I don't know how old he was. It may say that, but I can remember. He was young and getting ready for marriage. They wanted to have grandchildren, and they were really big in the family. And so God told Abraham that he would increase and multiply the sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky. So he had some work to do, right? So he sent his servant to go to his family. I forget what place that was at, but it was where a lot of the Hebrew people were, or actually where not necessarily Hebrew people, but where Abraham's seed and his family, his brothers and sisters and that kind of thing. Cousins and uncles and brothers and all that. And so he sent his servant to them, and he said, vow to me. Now watch this. He told the servant, he said, vow to me that you will go to the land of my fathers, and you will find my son a wife of that tribe, of the seed, of Abraham's seed. And so he vowed, and he said, okay. So he goes, and sure enough, to show you how servants become great, right? Rebecca was obviously a servant that went above and beyond, and you can see it in the very beginning with her. I'm not going to go to the scripture right now, I'm going to give you this scripture here in just a moment, but I want to talk about Rebecca just for a moment, from her young days. And so as the servant who was going on a trip for Abraham to find a wife for Isaac, his young son, he told God, he said, he put out a fleece. I love fleeces, man. He put out a fleece and he said, okay, he said, whoever, when I come up to water my camels and I stop at a well to water my camels, whatever woman, whatever young girl, whoever comes up and says, you know, if I ask her to, you know, feed, water my, give me some water, and then she will say, well, I will water all your camels, which was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. He didn't just, he was rich. Abraham was rich. And the servant was laden with gold and jewels and all kinds of things because he was going to show his wealth to the father of the new bride-to-be. And so he was loaded with stuff, man. He had camels. It was a lot of work. And so he pulls up, you know, to the water tank, so to speak, the well, and he sees Rebecca there, and he's putting out his fleece, right? He says, I'll test this first one out and see what happens. Young lady, can you give me some water from the well? And she goes, well, yes. So I'll give you some water, and I would also water your camels. Oh, my God, the first one. Oh, my God, right there. Boom. Rebecca was, you know, saw all of his camels, it was a lot of work. And she didn't even know who the guy was. And she served, and it was amazing. I feel the anointing on this. And so she served and watered all his camels, and the servant goes, man, this is amazing. This is just simply amazing. You know, the first girl I pull up to, there it is. She says she's going to do exactly what I asked God to do. So I know this is exactly what God wants to do. So he goes, meets the family, and shows off some of the gold and the silver and says, this, you know, your daughter puts it on Rebecca, and the family goes, yeah. Oh, this is Abraham. Oh, yeah, we know Abraham. He's our cousin or our brother or something. I can't remember who he was. Yeah. And so the servant, Rebecca, who was a servant, became great right then, right? She was willing to go way above and beyond, which was just in her working nature, I guess you would say, her nature to serve. And so she wasn't just trying to get by with what she could get by with and, you know, make people, please people. She was there to please God and go above and beyond. And that was kind of Rebecca's nature. And you see it right there, especially with the vow that the servant had made before God, the put up the fleece that, you know, so it was going to reveal, he knew that it would reveal that this woman is going to be a servant because he knew how many camels he had. And if she offered, one person offered to water all his camels, that one person was a servant. And he knew it. And so she did right away. So he takes her back, and sure enough, you know, they get married, and then Abraham's getting old, and, you know, he dies. And so Rebecca, Rebecca marries Isaac, and Isaac is now getting old. And she gets, and here's where the scripture I'm going to read you kind of comes into play here. And so they couldn't have children, just like their parents couldn't have children. Isaac's father and mother couldn't have children, right, until the miracle happened. Now he's got the same thing going on, exactly. And so he prays here in verse Genesis chapter, 25? Is that 25? Let me make sure I got that right. Genesis chapter 25. Yes, I got that right. Verse 21. I'm going to pull in right there. 21 says, later, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord heard his prayer, and his wife Rebecca conceived. It may be amazing how cool, how fast all that happens right in the Bible. He prayed, and she was pregnant. Wow, man. Amazing. All that work in between them. Verse 22, but the children inside her struggled. She had twins. But the children inside her struggled with each other. And she said, why is this happening to me? So Rebecca went to inquire of the Lord. And he declared to her. Now, here's where she hears from God. She's feeling a struggle in her womb. And she knows it's something beyond the norm. She doesn't understand it. But she is so bothering her, you know, she's going like, what are they doing, fighting? You know, what's going on in there? It's like a rumble, you know. And so she goes to the Lord. She inquires of the Lord. She says, what's going on inside there? You know, what's happening to me? She says to the Lord in verse 22. Verse 23, God declared to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. And people will be stronger one people will be stronger than the other. In other words, one people will be stronger than the other. And the older will serve the younger. Well, and as you guys know, in this culture, and in the Hebrew culture, and what God had laid out basically was that, you know, the firstborn, the older was always the one whom the younger served. But this case, God is telling her that, in other words, Jacob is going to be served by Ishmael, right? Yeah. And so Esau. And so Esau is the first one born, and she knew what God told her, right? So this is getting ready to break tradition, and what started another breaking of tradition that even Jacob became, you know, Jacob was the one who got the blessing, right? So even he broke tradition later, as we'll talk about here, but this is prophetic. This is something's going on where there is a changing of the way God does stuff. I want y'all to hear what I'm saying, and I'm prophesying to you. There's a changing of the way God is doing stuff. In the tradition that God had put forth is that the elder was always the firstborn son was always the younger ones always served the elder, the firstborn, right? Y'all know that. And so God Almighty, when you know, because something was going on in her womb, these children were like fighting or something, and she says, God, what's going on? It was really messing her up. And so she asked him in a fervent prayer, what's going on? And he speaks to her and said, the struggle is about this. And he said, so what's going to be different about this? Because she was feeling something was different. She didn't know what it was. She didn't have a clue what it was. Something's odd. Something's going on here. And God showed her, he said, well, there's going to be a change of the way we do things in this particular case. Not in every case, but in this particular case, the older in this case is going to serve the younger. In other words, the first one that's born, which is the older, is not going to be the one that's going to be given the major part of the inheritance, right? It's going to be the younger. The younger one. The younger one is going to be the stronger one. The younger one is going to be the blessed one, not the older, right? Just like in our inheritances today. You know, just like in my inheritance with my parents and all y'all, you know, the oldest child was the one who, you know, controlled everything, right? Some of y'all are dealing with that right now. I'm dealing with this. And sometimes it gets kind of crazy, right? I mean, you know how family stuff is. I mean, I'll tell you the story someday, but not right now. But anyway, so God says to Rebecca, who is a servant, and willing to go above and beyond whatever it takes, hears from God that the younger is going to be the stronger one. The younger one is going to be the blessed one, not the older one. So what happens? Esau comes out first, and then comes out Jacob. And so so as we know here, what happened was, as you go on and you read the story, you see that Rebekah and Jacob caught Esau at a time when he was struggling. He was out hunting. He didn't have any food. So he came back and where Jacob was eating, cooking some soup. And he said, brother, he said, I'll give you my inheritance. If my blessing, you know, in other words, the blessing of being the older child, I'll give this to you if you'll just give me some of your soup. So he must have been really, really hungry and really, really desperate and not cared. The thing is that he really didn't care about the covenants, and he really didn't care about the blessing of God, which is revealed in this, and which was revealed to Rebekah, his mother. But in the natural realm, Isaac, the father, and the wife and the husband of Rebekah was supposed to pass down the blessing to Esau, but Rebekah heard from God that in this particular case, something's going to be different. And this is the woman getting this, especially in those days. The women it was just different. The men were the ones that were blessed. The men that were the ones who cut covenant with God and all that. And so the women were respected and loved, of course. When they loved them, they loved them. So love makes a lot of difference. But in the rules, so to speak, Rebecca was about to break all the rules. So, first of all, Jacob takes Esau up on his compromise and says, yeah, I'll take your birthright. So there was a first sign that God was going to bless Jacob with the blessing instead of Esau. And then later, his mother and him, Rebecca, connived, if you will, and looks like she was sinning. It looks like she was really messing up. It looks like she was doing something conniving and evil. But what she was doing was she was making sure in whatever way she had to that what God told her about how there's going to be a reversal of roles would happen. And she knew, even after they were born, that Esau was not a godly man. He was not a man that was going to follow God like Jacob was. Yeah, mothers know that. She just knew it. And so the roles were reversed. She knew it, and she's going like, how can we get the – because once the father speaks the blessing over the older child, even though it's just words, that blessing stays on that child for eternity. Yeah, you got to remember that. You got to remember how powerful that is. Once that father, once Abraham or once Isaac spoke the blessing over the child and spoke the firstborn blessing over them, which was the major part of the inheritance, that was it. You didn't reverse that. There didn't have to be paperwork. Once those words, now watch this, once those words were spoken by the right person, it could not be counteracted, no matter what. So Rebecca knew that. She knew that. She goes to work scheming. Now, I don't know, but I think the Holy Ghost was helping her scheme, right? Because what was she doing? Not only was she doing what God said, but God was using her to protect the covenants of God. God was using this woman for the first time. A woman was used in this way to, quote, scheme and knew that her husband was blind and even went as far as making Jacob have hair, because Jacob was not a hairy man and Esau was, and put some goat's hair on his arm, knowing that Isaac is going to, you know, not believe when Jacob comes in and says, "It's me, Daddy, this is Esau." And he's going to go, "That it's Esau. It's the voice of Jacob, but you say it's Esau, you know, and you smell like Esau because she made him smell like Esau on purpose, but it's the voice of Jacob." And so she put sheepskin on him, on his arm, so that when he felt it, of the hair on his arm, that he would go, yeah, okay, so this is Esau, even though he was still confused about it, but he's blind, he couldn't see. And so when you see this thing, friend, this is what we're going to see go on in the spirit realm, not just with women. We're using the women thing because it was very unusual for a woman to do this. And because she was risking her life with God, if she hadn't been right, she would have been risking her life with her husband. She'd have been risking her life with her future reputation, which they were very hep on their reputations. They were very strong on their reputations and what they passed down to generation after. Oh, yeah, Grandma Rebecca, yeah, she was a scheming, lying scumbag. Yeah, no, she didn't want that reputation. But you know what? When you hear from God and you know God's speaking to you and he's telling you to do something that is not the norm, that's not the thing that is done, it's something different because God's doing a different thing. He's changing the way he's doing things, and yet it's God doing it, and it's not a bunch of scheming people trying to scheme and conspire to do their own thing. They're working to get the will of God done because God has spoken and said, this is what I want done. And so basically, in a nutshell, what I want to prophesy to you tonight, what I'm speaking to you tonight, is telling you that we are, as a prophet, I'm telling you that we are, the reason God's using this example about Rebecca tonight was, number one, she was a servant. She became great because what she did with God, because God used her to protect the covenant, knowing that Esau, when Esau was ready to sell out his birthright for some food, I mean, that revealed everything, right? So I'm sure Jacob told, you know Jacob and his mama were good buddies, right? Jacob goes and tells His mama, oh, guess what? Yesterday, Esau came in, and just like you said, Mom, just like you said, he didn't care about his birthright. He didn't care at all. He sold it to me for some food. She goes, yeah, that's what God told me. Confirmation for Rebecca. Confirmation. Okay, there it is, right there. Uh-huh. Yep, that's happening. Wow, unbelievable. And this powerful woman of God who inquired of the Lord, and the Lord spoke to her and said that in this case, the younger one is going to get the blessing. So what did she do? She didn't just sit around and do nothing, man. She went to work to make sure, even with some scheming going on. And somehow or another, God was right in the middle of all of it, friend. So we need to be careful, right, how we judge people, how we judge things that people do, how we judge situations, and make sure that we're not looking. Now, if somebody's not doing something in obedience to the Lord, then it's going to be revealed. That will be revealed. Then it will be nothing but, you know, human flesh trying to make God's will be done their own way. But in this case, God was doing something supernatural. And he was trying to reveal, and I'm revealing to you tonight as a prophet, I'm telling you, get ready, because we're going to see a lot of the traditional things that we've done, the way things have been handled, the way things have been done, are going to totally shift. And it's going to happen toward the prophets. In other words, the prophets are now being, the prophet realm is now being put in the blessing place, like Jacob was, and the blessing was spoken over Jesus. So we have moved into the season and the time and the place and global destiny in God's kingdom, that the prophets are moving into a place of favor with God, where God's favoring them, where and it's certain prophets, not just any, it's the prophets that God has called, that he's sanctified and set apart for this season and for this time. And we're going to do things completely different, as you've already seen what happened with the Trump and the Biden revelation and all that went on with all that. You saw a changing of the guard. You saw something shift. You saw the blessing go from the multitude of prophets, the ones who are in the blessing, the older ones, into I'm not young personally, and some of you are not young, but some of you are. But it got shifted over, friend. And God says, I'm going to pour my blessing out on this new thing. And then if you remember later, remember this was Jacob. Jacob was the one who got the switched blessing. His father blessed him with the blessing, thinking it was the other. It was the older brother. So it got switched. It got changed. And that began a process. So you know what happened with Jacob, right? Jacob and Joseph. Remember when Jacob finally goes to Egypt to be with Joseph? Remember what happened with Joseph's children? Do y'all remember? Look what got started with Rebecca. What Rebecca opened up the door for. Oh my God, you got to think about this. So Jacob, older, goes to see his son Isaac. I mean, his son Joseph. Sorry, okay, I'll get this right in a minute. Jacob, who thought he had lost his son, Joseph was in Egypt. And when he finally, came to see Joseph in Egypt, and Joseph said, Father, speak the blessing over my children. So Jacob did what was done to him. And it was God. It was God. He starts praying for. He turned his hand. He switched his hand, and he put the blessing hand on the younger child of Joseph, and he puts the other hand on the secondary blessing, if you will, on the older child. And Joseph went, "No, Father, that's not right. You got it mixed up. You're having a bad day. Alzheimer's kicking in. Old age. Something's kicking in. You got it mixed up." You got it messed up. Even Joseph said, you got it messed up. And Jacob says, no, my son, this is what God is doing. And of course, when they got into Canaan land, Joseph's kids, you know, family went into to the promised land and had their land. And so we're not going to get into that right now. But friend, I'm prophesying to you that God, if you're just looking for the normal church thing, the normal, you know, I want to be with the people who are strong and big and well-known and all that kind of thing. Well, you can do that if you want, whatever God's leading you to do. But I'm telling you, the shift is going toward this new thing God is doing. And it's the prophet realm, and it has to be, and I'm one of those prophets. I don't know how many other ones there are, and I know we have some among our PGN family that God is going to use PGN as a prophetic network, a prophet network that he's going to raise up. It's going to be amazing that God's going to turn the table, just like when Jacob got the tables turned on him and he got the blessing. And then Jacob, when he blessed Joseph, of all people, when he blessed Joseph's children, that he switched hands and did what was done to him, and it was God. And Joseph, you can read the scripture later, but Jacob told Joseph, he says, no, son, you don't understand. This is God. And it began a movement. So the normal way, you know, the big dog, the older son, the one who's supposed to get the blessing, it's being shifted over into a new place, into a new season where God is switching hands. He's going, yeah, the apostles, yeah, they're fine. Yeah, the pastor, yeah, but it's the prophet realm, and a particular, you know, kind of prophet that God is calling, called an end time prophets, prophetic grace network prophets, that God is putting the blessing on, and we're going to find ourselves with the blessing. Not because we, you know, had something special going on with God. It's just because this is the season that we're in. This is what God is doing. And you and I, we're in this thing together. And this is what God is doing. Don't miss out on what God is doing, friend, because you're going to look back in history and go, oh, my God, look what I almost missed out on. Right? Because, you know, the devil tried to rob me of this. The devil tried to say, no, just like Joseph. Joseph told his father, he said, no, father, that's not right. You got it mixed up. And Jacob, who was releasing the blessing, said, no, son, you don't understand. You do not understand, Joseph. And Joseph was a wise man, and he knew things. And yet Jacob, who had the power to pass that blessing down, and Joseph knew it, had made the switch, just like what was done to him. So who was accountable for that? It was a woman, a woman, in a time, in a place, you know. And what's so amazing about all this, y'all, is that how God had chosen Rebecca, and had that servant pray, you know, and had her picked out already, and had her be the first one at the well that day, knew that she was coming, knew that Abraham's servant was coming, and had it all prepared and ready. And, you know, I mean, there it was. It happened. So all you women out there, you know, I mean, I've had people accuse me of not being a, you know, a person who believes that women are used by God. But, you know, as y'all know, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. Yeah. So there you go. All right. I'm kind of just giving you a little nugget here tonight. We talked about this a teeny weeny bit before, but not as a prophetic word and putting it all together in a nutshell as a prophetic word. So as I think it's maybe if we take communion tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to take communion. This is not male and female word. This is about God breaking tradition. God breaking his own tradition. God did that. And then and then once it got started, then it got passed down to the next generation. You know, where Jacob, who had the switch done to him, instead of Esau getting the blessing, he got it. He passed it on to the younger because God told him to. And it's a shift of gears. And so it's just pretty amazing how this stuff goes on. And God is just like right in the middle of it, man. I'm telling you, he's right in the middle of it. So get ready. Get ready for the glory of God to come. and to be the blessing of God to come on your life. Not because you got some special relationship going on with God. We all got a special relationship going on with God, right? Personal relationship with Him. But you know what, friend? Guess what? It's because it's the season and the time we're in, and God's going to show Himself mighty through it. Mighty through it. Yeah. All right. And sometimes things are just not going to make sense. How can God choose them? How can God choose that? How can God bless that? Look at this, look at that, look at all these other things. You know, no, it just doesn't make any sense. It's just not going to make any sense at all. At all. Yeah. So get ready for that, y'all. Get ready. Amen. All right. All right. I think that's it for now. I would love to go on more about that. We're going to take communion concerning that tonight. So let's get ready for that. It is 10 minutes till 10, so we can go ahead and do that. And I believe God tonight for miracles for people. We're going to believe God tonight for the switching of hands, the switching of God's hands, the way He does things, the way He's moving toward those who are younger, those who are don't have that firstborn experience, if you will, as spiritually speaking. Not this is, if you're the firstborn, we're not talking about you. We're not talking about you do or don't have the blessing. It's not about that. It's about the generation that we're in and the spiritual children that we are, and the place and time that we're in. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about if you were firstborn, that means your younger brother or sister are going to get the blessing. We're not talking about that, right? Just to make sure you understand what we are talking about tonight. You'll get a hold of that. And get ready. Some of you struggling over inheritances that your older siblings are messing with or have messed with or whatever. And I have a situation like that myself. And believe me, it is. I'm going to talk about mine sometime when I can, when God gives me the grace. I don't want to embarrass anybody or humiliate anybody. But I will share that sometime in the near future, probably. Pray for me. Right, as you already are doing, pray for me that I will obey God and do what the Lord is telling me to do. And that way we can believe God for, the blessing of God, not the blessing of men. The blessing of men is awesome. I love it when people bless me. And then those things that come down from our parents and all that is beautiful. Thank God for all of it. I want it all. I mean, we want it all. We really want it all. We really do. But there's something special going on. So get ready. All right. Okay, y'all hang on just a minute. We're going to take communion. So we may take just a little minor break here in a moment as people are giving tonight. And then we add to that. I'm adding that to everything that goes on. Adding it to our list. Thank you for giving tonight. Thank you for your help. Thank you for serving God. We really appreciate it very much. I hope you're glad you're listening tonight, because what I'm prophesying is concerning you and the blessing of God on your life, in my life, in this generation. Amen. Yeah. You're going to see the most unusual grace, the reason, one of the reasons God had us call it Prophetic Grace Network is because we're in the grace generation where grace is, it doesn't make any sense. It's unmerited, undeserved favor, right? Unmerited, undeserved favor. Like, how come, I got more experience, the elder got more experience. I was born in this ministry. I was born in this, to preach and probably be in the front lines. And I was born to have the blessing. I was, and who do these people think they are? What do they think they're? It's like and here's what they're going to say: they're robbing us. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Or anybody out there listening to me? They're going to say they're robbing us. We're going to talk about this thing some night. Oh my God! When I got a lot of time, I'm going to like. We're going to get into this thing how Esau was like going, you know, he robbed me. He was angered, very, very angered at first. He was going to kill him. His own mother said, get out of town, baby, because he's going to kill you. She knew. Because they broke some protocol, big time protocol. And the way they did it, yeah, it's going to look like they stole it. And yet when God said do it, and God blessed it and sanctioned it and even put it in the Bible, somehow or another, we don't understand. It doesn't make any sense because it's the movement of grace, unmerited, undeserved favor, y'all. Y'all hearing me tonight? Unmerited, undeserved favor. Don't miss out on it. Don't miss out on it. God is going to bless. It's going to be amazing. All right, thank you for giving tonight. I'm going through getting some of those right now. Thank you for this, the blessing of being a partaker and a blesser of the finances of PGN. Really appreciate it. All right, I hope you all understand the prophetic word I'm getting tonight. I'm just kind of talking about it a little bit. I'm breaking it open. So that you can begin to get ready for something really cool, really amazing, and because they're gonna accuse us of robbing it from them. I'm already faced some of that in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense, like somehow we cursed them, right? Y'all listening to me? They're gonna say, "Oh, he cursed us. That's how he did it." Like, how can you curse the blessing of God? You can't curse the blessing of God. They cursed themselves with the curse of God because of their disobedience and merchandising. Just like Esau. Esau was a merchandiser. He would sell his birthright for some pottage just to live. I'll sell Jesus. Just give me some money so I can live. Yeah. And then later turned around and accused them. Of course, it was. That's the whole thing. This whole story is mind-boggling when you think about it. How God was in it. How God instigated it. Doesn't make any sense. We're all trying to let go. Well, Rebecca could have done this. Rebecca could have done that. But you know what? Rebecca was a servant of God, and God used her in an amazing way. It's like He's used men in amazing ways. This is not a male and female thing. This is about God using servants and making them great for their service to Him and doing what He says, the way He says do it. And therefore the blessing of God came on, was passed down. Because Isaac would have, now listen to y'all, I know it's going to sound disrespectful. Isaac was going to mess it up. Isaac was going to mess it up. You can tell by the way he was grieved over the fact that Because let me tell you something. Rebecca knew that Isaac was going to mess it up. And that's why she had to do it the way she did it. She was desperate to do the will of God. And she knew that Isaac was going to pass that blessing down to that child. I don't know why he would do that, but you can see it in the scripture. You don't have to have twisted sister messing you up on it. It's just plain to see. He grieved over it. He said, Esau, I've already spoken the blessing over your brother. He's swindled you. He's robbed you of your blessing. Friend, this is what's going to turn the tables on how people feel about how we're going to get the blessing. We as in Prophetic Grace Network. Oh, they cursed us. You know, like Jeremiah Johnson. Y'all heard the story about Jeremiah Johnson. I like Jeremiah Johnson. Jeremiah Johnson's a cool guy. He's sweet, spirit strong, you know, but he listens to the wrong people, I think, on some things for sure. Because once he, you know, he gave the word about Trump being president, and he's one of the ones that said, if I be a man of God, Donald J. Trump will be the next president for the next 4 years. You know, and that's going to be it. And what didn't happen, 40% of his people, he told this on Joni's show on Daystar Network, if you missed it. And I'm listening to him, right? He says, yeah, and 40% of my, he was very upset about it. Bless his heart, I would have been too. 40% of his offerings and 40% of his people got up and just walked out, said, you are not a prophet of God. And he, and then some other prophet told him, oh, that was witchcraft. That was, now, y'all hearing me? I'm gonna expose some nonsense, and I'm going to expose to you the Esau generation. I'm going to expose to you tonight the Esau generation and how they think. Now, I hope Jeremiah Johnson changes and comes over into the Jacob blessing. But until then, they're going to accuse us, oh, they did that. That happened by witchcraft. And they're going to accuse Jacob, the blessed one, the one who has the blessing. He was used to change the Joseph generation. He changed the whole Joseph, the well-known, blessed Joseph generation who saved the world with Pharaoh in Egypt, saved the globe. And there's a lot of stuff that Joseph did that we've talked about a little bit, but believe me, friend, it's deep and it's heavy, and it is amazing what Joseph really did. It's much more than we think. I've known about it for a while. I've talked about it off and on, but it's hard to get to because it's hard for people to comprehend how those things can be. Because when God does something, friend, it's unmerited favor. It's undeserved. He does things just like with Rebecca, Jacob's mother, who some people say swindled them out of the blessing. This is what I'm prophesying to you, what's going to happen. It's already happening. I heard Jeremiah Johnson say on international TV, being interviewed by Joni Lamb on the Daystar Network, and said these people were in witchcraft when they did this. It all happened by witchcraft. They did it by witchcraft. They were in witchcraft. And accused the body of Christ who called him on his word. This is hard. I mean, that had to be hard. I feel sorry for him. I mean, believe me, my heart goes out. But at the same time, I have to look at things the way the biblically and what's going on. And he literally accused the body of Christ, who said, you missed it. You said, I swear, if I be a man of God, if this doesn't happen, I'm not a man of God. He swore his own destruction and then turned around and accuse the people that did it of being in witchcraft. If I'm wrong about that, somebody let me know, but I watched it. Now, we might refine it just a little bit, but you can't refine that too much, friend. He said that. He was still ticked off and still bitter when he said it. I can tell. I'm a man of God myself. I can tell when somebody's bitter. I can tell when somebody's struggling. And that... He said, now watch what, I mean, we could talk about this stuff all night long, y'all. We could talk about this. Are y'all ready for some of that? I don't think y'all are ready for some of this. I think some of y'all ain't ready for that. I don't know if you're ready for the big grace movement, the prophetic grace network movement. I don't think some people are ready for it. Because you know what? You're not going to be able to figure it out. They couldn't figure out why Donald Trump didn't make it. They couldn't figure out why did that. They couldn't figure, you know, Jeremiah Johnson had three dreams. And the first two came to pass were amazing. The third one was about Donald Trump. And when that didn't happen, he turned around and accused God's people of witchcraft and probably me too. Like I was in witchcraft. Like I had something to do with it. When God gave me dreams, you know, in 2018 about it, as you guys well know, accusing me and others of witchcraft. Oh, that's the Esau spirit. Should have the blessing, but they no longer do. Now, they were blessed. Esau went on to be blessed. He was a man of strife. They became a generation. The Esau clan became as troublemakers, as the one who now went around during Obama's administration cutting off people's heads, ISIS. Am I talking too much tonight, y'all? Y'all getting tired of this? Y'all want to move on to something better? I know some of you are having a hard time handling this. Some of you love it. Some of you, I'm not sure what to think of it. You know what? I care, but I don't care. And I mean that. I care, but I don't care. Hallelujah. I care about the body of Christ. But when it comes to prophesying, God don't give a rip what you and I think. Not a rip. Because your ways are not his ways when they're not his way. And neither are mine. Just too much? I guess I should turn this off because I don't know, it burns people's ears. Okay. We'll shut it down. We'll just shut it down. You don't want to call your best, some of your buddies that you look up to, the Esau generation. I know, you know. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry that I said that. The Esau generation accusing the body of Christ of witchcraft. It said some prophet told him. I'd like to know who that. I wish they would name that prophet because I think I know who it is, and they are full of it. As far as this goes. They're jealous, just like Cain. Preach what God says. Thank you, Carmen. Yeah, I'm trying to. You know what? The things that God's going to do, just like with Jesus Christ, when they crucified him, that made no sense at all. The greatest man who ever lived on the earth, Jesus Christ, his own father set it up to where his own people would crucify him. Because they were the only ones that could. They were the only ones that could offer him up. They were the only priesthood there was in the earth. The Jewish people had to offer him up. It wasn't that they were bad people. God was using it. It was a mirror. It was amazing the way God used his own people to offer up and sacrifice his own son, just like he did Abraham with Isaac. That was all God. He had the Jews do that. The Jews weren't being evil. It was an evil thing, but God blinded them. God blinded them. How can we blame them when God blinded them? You can't blame them. Then you might as well be blaming yourself because you're going to be blinded too, and me too. The Esau generation, God switched his hands. It was done in some ways that they're going to look at us like that was witchcraft, just like Esau and even Isaac, like he stole your blessing. You're the swindler. The swindler. Swindled it. That's what they're going to say. They're going to say that. They are going to say. They're already saying it. When I get ready to expose this whole thing, it's going to blow your mind. God gets ready to expose it, I should say. He uses me to do it because I don't know. I don't know why he shows me stuff. He just, you know, in that particular area, but he just does. I got to do my job. And it's fun. I actually love my job. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I love it myself. I mean, truly, I feel privileged and highly honored that God switched his hand, and that God used some so-called wheeling and dealing, if you will, because God was trying to get his will done through Rebecca, and he got it done. I mean, who can find fault with her about what she did when you understand what God told her? She was a servant, man. She went above and beyond. She risked her life. She risked her reputation. She risked her future. She risked the death of her own child, of Jacob. She was risking Jacob's life. If we saw later in the story where Esau threatened to kill him, and his own mother, Rebecca says, "Get out of here, Jacob, before he kills you." She knew that before she did it, friend, and she took the risk. Thank God for some women. Thank God for some women. Now, there's a lot of men in the Bible. There's more men in the Bible that did risk things, too. But believe me, you know, we need to give credit where credit's due. And I'm not just teaching or trying to surprise you or shock you with something. I'm prophesying to you as a prophet. Okay? Y'all still love me, right? I know you do. May not agree. Agree, but you still love me. Yeah, because you love Jesus. Right? can't get too mad at me. You just get mad at him because when he tells me this stuff, I just tell you what he says. Amen. And then wait for him to prove it. I can't prove it. Only he can prove it. And these people I'm talking about, these are God-born people. These are not devils. But the devil's going to use them, and God's going to use God's going to let the devil use, just like God let the devil use the Jewish people. Didn't mean the Jewish people lost their covenant. Anything. It had nothing to do with any of that. People who say that don't know their Bible. So we're entering into a generation where shifting of gears, the changing of hands, the switching of hands. All right. I love you guys, too. Thank you so much for being with me. And listen to the word, Lord, because what we're doing, we're setting forth a precedence. How do you say that? We're setting forth, you know, we're pioneering some things. That's kind of what apostles do, but I'm not an apostle. I've been accused of being an apostle, but I'm not an apostle. I'm a prophet who does, because prophets do first things. Apostles are known to do, you know, pave the way for new things. Well, what do prophets do? Same thing. They get the first word, right? Prophets get the first word. So prophets get the first word. What is that? In a sense, that's pioneering. That's what's happening. All right. Okay, I'm going to stop. I don't want to wear y'all out with this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Wait till we start telling people they're cursed because they're not preaching the gospel of Christ. Wait till we start talking about that. It's getting closer. It's getting close. I can feel it. And believe me, when God says it, it's going to stir up. It's going to stir up that Esau spirit, man. Going to stir it up, brother, and get ready for the blessing of God to be on Jacob, the one who wasn't supposed to get the blessing, the one who doesn't deserve it, right? The unmerited, undeserved blessing of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Shikata paroha paklero one. Shikamotavo. Hallelujah, Jesus. All right, let's take communion tonight. And I want to pray over offerings tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for loving PGN. Thanks for giving to PGN. Thanks for being a blessing to PGN financially. We are got some building stuff stirred up. I think I've told you a little bit about it. It's still working. Some things are still working, so just be patient. I'm having to really be patient, and I'm not always real patient. I'm kind of like Sarah and Abraham when he, let's get this thing going here, Jesus. All right, so y'all pray for me. All right, we're going to take communion tonight, and we're going to take communion in the realm of God opening your eyes to the switching of the hands, to the switching of the blessing, to those who should have it, to those who have the money, to those who have the networks, to those who have the so-called power and authority, to those who have the connections, they should have the blessing, but it's going to be switched over. To the person who has no experience, if you will, the firstborn is the one who's, you know, the one who gets all the first experience, right? Secondborn, thirdborn, those are all, they come later. All right, let's open up communion tonight. If you got your bread, let's open it up here, and let's lift it up in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, where Paul the Apostle. Says, verse 23, for Paul says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night, it was the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's do this in remembrance of the switching of the hands, the changing of the hands of God, the grace movement, the prophetic grace movement, unmerited, undeserved favor. The less experienced, the less blessed, if you will, financially, the less favored ones as far as having the automatic favor of God and enter into the grace movement in Jesus' name. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do in remembrance. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of the Lord Jesus, of me, saith the Lord." Hallelujah. Lord, we give you the glory tonight. We thank you for the movement of God. We thank you for what you're doing tonight, dear Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, for moving upon your people. For the switching of the hands. For the changing of the guard, if you will. Well, of the way the guards are picked, I should say, and chosen. The way the leaders, because the firstborn is automatic the leader. Now we have those who are not the leaders are going to be the leaders. I've always said to people all my life, I'm not a leader. I'd rather follow. I like following. I like helping. I love serving. I love serving. I'm known for that. I mean, and it's not necessarily a compliment among, you know, leadership type style people. Oh, yeah, no, Randy's not a leader. He likes to help. He likes to serve. True. Honest to God. Is it humiliating as it used to be? I loved it. It wasn't humiliating to me at all. Just let me help. I want to help. I want to serve. And you know what? I didn't even have a clue at the time that God was saying the servants become the greatest. That's you, friend. That's me. That's us. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this, man? This is coming whether you're ready or not. Right? This is coming whether you're ready or not. So I think you're ready. Even if you're not ready, just because you're born in this generation, that makes you ready, friend. You're ready. Yeah, you're ready. You know why you're ready? Not because you're trained, because the firstborn's not trained. I mean, the secondborn or the, you know, is not the trained one. He's the one who trains. He's the one who runs stuff. Now God says, nah, you're not going to run stuff. You know, sorry, Joseph. Jacob said to Joseph, his own son, the smart one who had the dreams. Jacob never bowed to Joseph. Do y'all notice that? If you ever read that, he never bowed to Joseph. That's why that dream, when his own father interpreted Joseph's dream and told Joseph, he said, you know, what are me and your mother going to be bowing down to you? Jacob never bowed down to Joseph. That just tells you that dream was not about his father, was not about Jacob and the son of the moon bowing down to him like being Jacob and his mother. It was about Pharaoh and all of Egypt. If you know the Bible and study the Bible at all, you can find that out real quick, y'all. And I'm the only one, I've done research, I'm the only one who's ever talked about that. Why? Because when God opens your eyes to certain things, you just get, it's not that you're special or better, it's that he just opens your eyes to a certain realm of revelation, and that revelation is made for this generation. That revelation is made to create, and those who partake of that bread and that food that God gives, It is made to make them that generation that is chosen. When you shouldn't be chosen, when you're not supposed to be chosen. The grace of God is the unmerited, undeserved favor of Almighty God. Not going to make it. That's why people that try to figure it out are going to figure themselves right out of it. They will figure themselves right out of it. Well, that just doesn't make any sense. What Rebecca did was wrong. Yeah, well, where in the Bible does it say it's wrong? I know what it looks like. We've all had the same read. We all read it. And God, tonight we take communion. I thank you, Jesus, as we've eaten your body and drinking your blood, that you are switching hands. Hallelujah. And I speak that blessing to the switch hand movement of God, the grace of God. The unmerited, undeserved, can't figure it out, don't know why it's happening. It just is because God just says, this is the way I'm going to do it, and we don't have to know why. All we got to do is say, dear God, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And just like Abraham had the power to bless Isaac, just like Isaac had the power to bless whoever he blessed. And when he blessed Jacob instead of Esau, once he did that, it could not be turned around. You hear that? It, just like God turned it around once he got Jacob to speak that blessing over, once he got Isaac to speak that blessing over Jacob, it could not be turned around. He himself said it, and that's the way it was. Everybody knew that. Once you speak that, once the father speaks that blessing over those children, that's it, done. You can't switch it around no matter what. Now, we're going to talk about that some night. That is mind-boggling, amazing. And that's what we're taking communion about tonight. Hallelujah. Be a part of that generation, friend. Be a part of that generation. All right, Cheryl says, I remember Ephraim and Manasseh was a prophecy over my sons. Oh, my God, no kidding. That the older would mentor my younger, but the older would serve the younger being a king. Really? I love it. I believe it. That's amazing. Thank you, Cheryl, for sharing that. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, I hope y'all are hearing it tonight. I'm not just, that's a great teaching. I'm not teaching, y'all. I'm not teaching. I mean, it is a teaching, but it's a prophetic revelation from a prophet, from the prophet realm. Man, do not miss out on this. I mean, do not miss out on this by trying to figure it out. Well, I know, you know, this and that and the other, and I've never been popular. I've never been, you know, the same thing with me. Almost every leader in every church I was ever a part of just looked right over me. And when they finally did say, well, maybe we can give him one of these little low-life jobs over here and let him teach the Sunday school class, I started teaching the Sunday school class, and the gifts of the Spirit start moving. I started prophesying over people. And did it very friendly, just like I do here. I didn't shout and hollering and flopping around. I just like, you know, like I'm talking, yeah, okay, stand up right there, you, that's that, 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 that. And as soon as that class started filling up, man, they ran me out of town. They did, honest to God. And God is my witness. They ran me not out of town, literally, but you know, out of that Sunday school class. And they expected me to leave the church. They kept thinking that I would rebel and fight and leave the church. I've told the story before. Never did. Until, you know, well, I say I never did. Until, you know, like a year or 2 years later. And the youth pastor who had something to do with it got up and confessed. Finally, got up and confessed about it. You know why? Because I didn't leave. I stood there. I stood still. Should have left. They were lying about me. That whole pastoral crew that put it all together and got rid of me, you know, I mean, you know, and I know this is going to sound kind of judgmental, but they were all together in a van on the way to a Tommy Barnett meeting in, or California, where was that? And somebody in an 8-lane freeway ran all the way across one side of the freeway to the other and ran right toward their van, flipped their van. And none of them died, thank God. But people talked about that, y'all. Like, they knew that whole crew and what they had done. And it became, the whole church knew about it because the whole church was just talking about what's going on in Randy class. I wish I was that age group where I could be in that class. That happened, y'all. I'm telling you. It was the college group. Yeah. The parents started making excuses for, well, my child's in that, so I'm going to go there. And they want to be ministered. People want to be ministered to, man. They want to be loved. All you need is love. They saw what was going on was real. They knew that I didn't know anything about those people. And God was just loving on them, reading their mail, like loving on them like sweet little baby dolls. It was the sweetest thing. And it shook that leadership up. They were shaking to the core because they didn't know what they Because I never boasted about anything. I never told them I'm a prophet and floating the spirit. They didn't even have a clue. I worked at a construction job. Yeah. That was it. I was working at a construction job. And that's all that whole, he does construction. He's a strong witness for the Lord. We'll get him to do a Sunday school class. He did the college and career. I did the college and career group. Man, did they ever regret that? And I did everything that let me tell you something, friend. I know how to submit. I know how to submit because I know when I submit and do whatever they ask me to do besides sin, you know, they never asked me to sin. I did whatever they asked me to do, and I knew God would cover me. You know what? He covered me all the way. You got to learn how to submit, friend. Submission is not some bondage thing. It's showing God you're willing to do whatever he wants you to do, even if it costs you. And when he went in there and he started, that class started growing like crazy, and they started freaking out. The youth group people started coming to my service instead of his, and his service started being emptier, and mine was being fuller, and I was a nobody, a construction worker, they thought. It was funny. I work construction, right? Yeah, I work construction. That's all they knew me for, as a construction guy. He goes to our church and is a tither, a faithful, loyal tither, and gives offerings. You know, that's all they knew. That's all they knew. And little did they realize who they were asking to do that Sunday school class. It's one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen God do with me. And I tell the whole story sometime, but it was like, I've talked about this a little bit, I know before, but it was mind-boggling what God did. What God did, I didn't even have a clue what was going on. I never do. It was hilarious. And then they thought, when they rejected me, they thought I'd leave, right? Because that's usually people, oh, you offended me. And they knew they were true. He took me in his office. The pastor took me in his office privately. He's a nice man. I love the man. He's really a fine man, a very fine man. And I mean, honest to God, fine man. And he started accusing me of stuff, you know, not nearly like bad things, but just like authority things, which he was wrong. Because he knew good and well that I did everything they asked me to do. And he was trying to find a way to get rid of me. And he got me in his office and kind of scorned me a little bit. And I just listened and cried a little bit because I felt like the love of God all over me, because when he was criticizing me, I just felt God loving me, you know, instead of being hurt because I'm made to be rejected, right? So when he was rejecting me, I was feeling loved. Honest to God, it's the honest to God truth. I felt that's exactly what happened. I felt such love. I thought, how can love be coming through that man's tongue? I couldn't figure it out first. I'm going, how can I feel so loved? I was weeping. He thought I was like, you know, sorry. I said, no. He said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm doing great. I just feel the love of God. He couldn't figure out how can I feel the love of God when he was rebuking me. And I didn't fight back. I didn't do nothing. I just listened and yielded. Said, well, you know, I don't know what you're talking about exactly, but okay. You're the pastor. You know, when you've been a pastor, you learn how to submit to pastors. I let God take care of it. I let God take care of it, man. And eventually God dealt with him. It was really unusual. Anyway, okay. Y'all stir me up. Y'all stir me up. I'm blaming all this on y'all. It is hilarious, some of the stuff, some of the stories. I need to write a book. Honest to God, I need to write a book. The first giveaway book by a prophet who worked construction. Yeah. A prophet under construction. That's what we'll call it. Prophet under construction. There you go. There's the name. The prophet under construction. Oh, God. How do I get myself into this? I don't know. I'm trying to get out of it now. You know, pray for me that I'll just, you know, I'll be so whatever. I think people can't figure out how come God blesses me. They can't figure it out because, like, I sure don't have all the stuff they've got. Really. God just switched hands on me and, you know, surprised me. He said, oh, you're the one that's going to lead. I'm going like, what? I'm not a leader. He said, yeah, I know. That's why I'm going to let you lead, because you know how to follow. You're a good follower. You know how to submit. You know how to serve. I'm going like, oh, my God. I would have never put that. If I'd have, If I'd have thought that, I don't know what I would have think if I'd have known that. I don't know. I would have said, no, I can't. But when you understand the principle of serving and following, that's what makes you a leader. Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. When you grasp that, when you start grabbing a hold of that in the depth of it, it's amazing. It's amazing. Okay, I'm not sorry. Y'all know I'm not sorry, but still, I want to say I'm sorry, but I'm not going to. All right, Carmen says, good title, Prophet Under Construction. Really, you like that? I just got that just now, honest to God. I've never said that before. Yes, he says I like that. Okay, thank you. All right, Prophet Under Construction. Because, you know, I did construction, you know. I was full-time ministry for several years, and then when I moved to Dallas, I didn't have a church, right? So I had to take care of my family. I wasn't going to sit there and beg, you know, people, you know, please give to my ministry as I prophesied to you. I wasn't going to sell myself, you know. I've never been able to sell myself. So I went to work, man. I got a job. And, you know the story. Well, there you go. All right. I love it. I love you guys. Thank you for loving the prophetic realm. Thank you for being children of God. Who want the peace of God, the true peace of God. Because the true word of God brings the true peace of God. But with the false words do not bring peace. They bring a lot of strife. And Esau was a strife person. He was a man of strife, like a donkey, like a wild donkey. I thought I was a wild donkey. But the scripture says, you know, I think it was maybe it's Ishmael. Anyway, the same spirit about them, basically. The wild donkey thing. Yeah, there you go. Okay, let's move on. I'm trying to move on, believe me. Dear Jesus, help me out here. Okay, I'm trying to catch all the donations as they come in. So thank you for giving. Thank you. All right, thank you for that. Appreciate that. Okay, all right, awesome, thank you. All right, thank you for giving tonight. We're going to prayerless offerings right now. If I could stop reminiscing and, yeah. Learn to be submissive, friend. Really, submission is only it's one thing. It's actually being a servant. That's really all it is. It's being a servant. Truly, it's being a servant. Submission is being a servant. That's really all it is. All right, in a nutshell, being a servant. Can't be a servant, you're not going to make it. Okay, I am. I'm trying to move on. Yeah, pray for me. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get all these offerings straight because people give during the show, so we kind of work it as we go here. Thank you for your love. Thank you for what you do, and we really appreciate you very much. Pray for the building thing still going on. Still going on, believe it or not. Kind of crazy. I can't. I wish I could talk about it, but I can't. Y'all understand, right? I think you do. Hopefully you trust me a little bit by now. All right. Okay, I'm literally trying to move on. Okay, I gave Bob Mail $103. Oh, okay. Oh, wonderful. Thank you for that $103. Cool. 320, thank you. All right. Awesome, awesome, awesome. That's cool. All right. If y'all could stop giving for a minute, I could start praying over offerings. I'll just check one more thing, and then we'll take off here and go. How about that? Okay. All right, thank you, Jesus. Let's pray over offerings tonight. Thank you. If you give during, if you give after I start praying, I'm going to put it at the bottom, okay? I think. I say I'll do that, and then I may change my mind. I'm just kind of telling you what I'm saying I might do. All right? So if you give while I'm praying and it's $5, if I'm already past the $5 people and you get $5, I'll put it at the end. If I'm at the $20 people and you give $15, I'm going to put it at the end, okay? Something like that. If you give five, if you give 20 and I haven't got to the 20 yet, then I'll pray with the 20. You know, that's kind of how I do it here. It's my structure. I may turn it around, change it sometimes. I may turn it around. I may start doing the bigger offerings first, do the smaller offerings last. Maybe. I don't know. I've talked about it before. I know. Okay, we'll see. All right, Andrea, $5. Hey, te cara, bohan, de sheto, pandeco, pava. Lord, I just thank you for that grace upon her life, God, that unmerited, undeserved favor. Where she may not fit in with certain things, certain people. That if we don't fit in, it's like we don't get blessed. Well, if you don't fit in, you know, to the group, if you don't fit in to whatever, if you don't, you know, act like they act and do like they do, you don't fit in with them. Well, you know, Andrea, I just know you're like me. You're too stubborn to put on a show for somebody and so you can be a part of the crew. You know, I never could do that. Not for very long. You know, I can think maybe I need to be a better person. And being a better person meant being like them, right? Because they were the known people. They were the people that had the stuff, right? Had the position, had the firstborn blessing. And I just never could do it. So you can't either, girl. You can't do that. You're blessed. God blessing you. You're blessed. You got the grace of God, unmerited, undeserved favor. People can't figure out. They're gonna be able to figure out how did Andrew get blessed? Because God chose to bless her. That's it. Let that blessing, let the fact that that's what God's done with her, Father, soak into her, so she will rest and relax, and in the blessing. And know that it's because you blessed her and not because people approve or disapprove. It has nothing to do with the approval of men. We like approval of men. We like it when men approve of us. You know, if God's got it going on, he wants to fight that, right? But if God ain't going on, why worry about it? All right, Shalonda, $10. Thank you, Shalonda, for that 10. Thank you. Bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for her friendship, God, the friendship friend, that she's a friend of God. Shalonda, I declare a decree over Shalonda. She is a friend of God, and that you bring those friend of God relationships to her, Father, where she will be able to have that friendship of God in common. And when you have that in common, then you have all you need, really. Because then if somebody's a friend of God, if they're your friend, at whatever level of friendship, whether that's a husband, a mate, a business person, a praying partner, whatever it is, when they're a friend of God and you're a friend of God, friends of God let God deal with them. And if you got a person who's a friend of God, they're going to let God deal with them. You can guarantee you don't have to try to change them. God will change them. Right? So we can rest and relax. All right? We don't have to change people. God changes people. And he loves, because change means freshness. Change means glory. All right, Barbara, $10. Thank you for that, Barbara. We bless you, Barbara, from Texas. Thank you, Jesus, for Barbara. Lord, I just thank you for that refreshing. Lord, give her a big dose of refreshment, Father. Like just a refreshing love, a refreshing flow, refreshing words. Just speak. You know, I was listening today to how God spoke to a prophet. I don't remember who it was. I think it might have been Hosea. How he was going to take his woman off into the wilderness just to have her there by himself in the wilderness and speak sweet nothings into her ear. Yeah. To get her away from all the stuff, get her away from all the trouble, get her away from all the things. Yeah. And just get her off by himself and just speak sweet, beautiful words into her ear. And show her his love, that refreshing love of the Father. Hallelujah. Bless Barbara, God, in Jesus' name. Open her up to that. Show her the refreshing of more. In Jesus' name. Sally, $14 from UK, London. Thank you, Sally, for that intellect. You have an intellect of God inside you. You have a hunger for the intellect of God. You have a you do not want just, even though you value, you know that human intellect can be really cool, and it can, and it is. It's a blessing in some ways. But when it comes to God's stuff, it's not a blessing at all, because the intellect of man, you know, doesn't understand the intellect of God, right? So you have this battle that's raising you all your life of the intellect, between the intellect of God and the intellect of man. And God is giving you his intellect. He's giving you his mind. You have the mind of Christ, Sally. When you have the mind of Christ, that means that you, in the long haul, you think the way God thinks about things. You don't do your own intellect thing. Though sometimes we try. The thing about trying to work things out in your own intellect is that you start saying, you realize it's not right because you don't even like it. You're never going to like it. I'm not that impressed with intellect that much. I mean, you know, somebody's brain being used, it's amazing. But as far as being impressed of being led by God and being a God, it's not really impressed me at all. So you're not even impressed with your own intellect. That's funny. Because, you know, when you try to figure things out yourself, so it's like when God's intellect rises up within you, you go, oh, my God, there it is. Oh, my God, I just got a God thought. That is amazing. I got a God thought. Yeah, because you get the mind of Christ, girl. Get the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. Open it up to her, God. She will be able to drink of the rivers of the mind of Jesus, of the mind of God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Wow, that was awesome. Carmen, $17.50 and $103.20. I see that's what happens when we do that. I hit you down here at the bottom, and then I get you at the top, too. So you're at the top, and you're at the bottom. What does that mean? That means something. I know it means something. What does it mean? I don't know exactly. But so Carmen gave $17.50. I think it came in the mail. Yeah, I think a check came in the mail. And then you said you sent another check for $103.20. And, okay, so that's $120. That's actually $120.70. Am I getting that right? Yeah, $170.20. Wow, awesome. $120.70. Yeah, amen. So you're in the first four or five group, and you're at the last, in the bottom of the last four or five group. Yeah, that means something. Hallelujah. You're at the beginning and the end. Whatever that is, I don't know what that means exactly. I haven't got a hold of that one yet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that double blessing, Father, in her life. In Jesus' name. God, you call her. You're switching the hands with her, God. You're putting your blessing on her, God. You're calling her to be, because she's a follower. She's a yielder that, though she was born spiritually, you know, at a time where it's like you know, everybody has all these other things that you don't have, as far as like Paul the Apostle was an intellectual from the law. Peter was an ignorant person. It said in the book of Acts, we're talking about Peter, it says he was an ignorant fisherman. It doesn't mean that he was a stupid fisherman. It just means he was an ignorant fisherman. In other words, he wasn't learned in the law. He was not an ignorant. Him and Paul were probably both smart, just in their own different ways. But so God has given you, you know, a wisdom like in a sense like Peter, and yet Peter, even though he was called an ignorant fisherman, as far as meaning that he was a person who was not of the law and didn't know the law, like Paul the Apostle went to law school, Peter went to fisherman school. Yeah, so he shouldn't have been, you know, a leader in the day of Pentecost. It should have been, you know, somebody else. But he was. So I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Yeah, bless Carmen, God. Give her that revelation, Jesus, that it's about your choosing and who you choose and why you choose and how that we know that we're not as whatever as somebody else. Like, Peter knew that Paul was more intellectual than him. He knew that he knew more about the law than he did. He said, why didn't God use you, Paul, to do the day of Pentecost? Why didn't he use me? Because God chose you. That's why. Hallelujah. Open her up to the day, to that thing of, to the Peter thing inside of her, God. In Jesus' name, open her up to that, dear God. Hallelujah. Open that up in the name of Jesus. To the unmerited favor of God Almighty. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Don't try to figure it out, Carmen. I know you don't. Don't try to figure it out. Just receive it. In Jesus' name. The blessing of God. The switching of the hands. The breaking tradition. The breaking of the rules like Jesus did. You know. Yeah. He didn't break the law, but he broke the rules. He did things that as a Jewish Messiah he wasn't supposed to do. But obviously, he had God's approval, just like Rebecca did. Amen. Yeah. So, hallelujah. There's something about all that. We're going to explain it some of it later. But, dear God, open your favor, God, on Carmen, God, in Jesus' name. This whole thing, Carmen, about us not trying to figure it out. Our human mind, our intellectual mind, wants to figure it out. Mind does. That's why we have a mind, is to try to figure it out. But when we realize that we can't, Then because we know we can't, it becomes a blessing because we go, I can't. So you can, I can't, I tried, I don't know how, I tried, I don't have your intellect, I don't have your mind, God. So give me your mind. And it opens us up to the mind of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So anybody tells me they don't try to figure it out, they're not telling the whole truth. She says, I receive it. You better. You better. Yeah. I'm telling you, don't try to figure it out. Well, I can't speak as well as those. I can't talk. I can't. Yeah, you talk pretty good. You speak just like Moses. Moses argued with God. Well, you know, I can't really talk, but, you know, I can't really put it together. I can't really, you know, whatever. It may not be that. It may be something else, but, you know, God says, well, okay. You're going to go either way, Moses. It doesn't matter whether you think you can do it or not. You're going to go because I've called you. I've chosen you. All right, Chris, $20. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Same thing with Chris. God, I thank you for this thing about the ignorant fisherman thing, you know, of this not, that Peter was a very smart man. He was a very smart person, but he wasn't trained. So God's going to use the, quote, untrained people to do the training. He's going to use the untrained people, Chris, to do the training. God's going to use you to train others. He's going to use you to train them how to give, how to love, how to bless, how to pass a blessing on, how to be a servant of God, how to serve in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for that heritage inside of Chris, God, that opening up, God, to the servanthood of Jesus, to wash the feet of the disciples, Father, and become that great one that you call to do great things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen, and amen. All right, Sandra, $20. Thank you, Sandra, for that $20. We just bless you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for turning the lights on. Turn on the lights. I hope you heard that little song. My daddy used to sing the song. The party's over. Turn out the lights. The party's over. I don't know who sang that song. What did my dad, the country western song, I think. I'm not a country western person myself, but he was. And so turn out the lights, the party's over. It's like God's saying that with people who party, with people who do things in the dark realm, the party's over for them. You know, God's about to test them. God's about to move upon them. You know, God's having you turn out the lights. He said, okay, Sandra, turn the lights out on them so they can shift gears. Turn the lights out on them. You know, like Paul the Apostle blinded people. He blinded one guy. Blinded people. It's more than one. I think it's just one guy. He blinded. He blinded him because he was and he opened his eyes later, but he blinded him. Why? Because he was doing the wrong thing. Sometimes God has to turn out the lights, Sandra. God's going to use you sometimes to say, turn out the lights, God. Turn out the lights. Your party's over. You've been going the wrong direction. Trying to sing like a country boy. Turn out the lights. Yeah, Paul turned out the lights. Who else blinded people? I think Elijah blinded somebody. I don't know what that's about, girl. But there you go. Amen. Yeah. Whatever. That's what I say. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever God says. All right, Marie, $25 from Virginia. Thank you, Marie, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that cultural thing, God, with her, that she has an ability to open herself up to the cultures of God. And the cultures of God is not necessarily a legalistic thing, like when Rebecca, you know, she was involved. She was the culture. She was part of the culture. She knew the culture. She believed in the culture. And then all of a sudden, God speaks, Marie. God speaks and says, all right, we're going to change the culture. We're going to change the way we do things here. It's not going to be the bus. It's not going to be the first one. It's going to be the second one. She goes, what? Why are you telling me this? And then later on, Marie, as it went on, she began to see that Isaac was not going to pass that blessing on to Jacob. But Jacob wasn't, you know, Isaac was more of a, you know, out there hunting and that kind of thing. And Jacob, he liked to spend time in the tent, you know, reading books, you know, stuff like that, you know, Facebook, you know. But, you know, Esau, he liked getting out there, you know, and just Isaac just liked him. So Isaac, what was Isaac doing? This kind of represents the old generation. Sometimes all you see is that what they've seen, what they like, what they think, what they favor. But God said, I'm going to favor the ones just the opposite. And that lines up with you in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for the favor of God and Marie, God, in Jesus' name. Open her up to that realm. Open her up to that place of realizing the favor of God in her life in Jesus' name. We don't have to look to that. The spirit of condemnation comes on people that are called to walk as servants, to be great before God. The spirit of condemnation, that's why I take communion on a regular basis, because the spirit of condemnation tries to come on me and says, Randy Chandler, you know you can't do this. You know you can't lead. You know you can't take theirs. You know you can't. You know you can't. All the time telling me I can't. But you know what? That's been going on for a long time, but, you know, I've matured in that quite a bit, knowing who I am and what God has chosen me to do, and it changes everything. When you get revelation from the Father, when God tells you, like God told Rebecca, that the thing's going to change. God started telling me, it's going to change. You're going to change. You're going to be different than you think. I made you a servant, and it doesn't look all that great, but listen to Jesus' teachings about how the servants become the greatest because they know how to serve. All right, Angela Lanham, 25:25. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for her heart, God, that you're taking her heart, God, and you're opening her up to the place of freedom, to the place of liberty, to the place of glory, that she can glory in you, God. She's not going to glory in the things of man. Angela Lanham from Carolina is going to glory in the things of God. Look what God did. Ain't no man could do that. No man could have done that. That had to be, that's God. And that's what Moses said. That's what, you know, others said, other men of God, women of God said, oh, that's God. God, only God could do that. So God's been giving you some things. He's going to give you some more things that's going to be only God could do that stuff. Why is he doing that, Angela? He's convincing you. Convincing you. Takes time for God to convince us. He convinces us at a certain level, enough to get us going, and then down the road, he still has to convince us because we know we're just regular folk. We ain't got much going on, you know, besides what, you know, yeah. So, you know, God has to convince us. God has to show us. Hallelujah. The showmanship of God for Angela from Lanham. Angela Lanham. The showmanship of God. Amen. All right, Terrence, $20. And Tanisha, $26. Tanisha, I gave you tonight, bro. Does that mean that, what does that mean? Does that mean that the greater is the less and the less is the greater? I don't know. That might get me in trouble. That means you're, you know, God's teaching how to serve. How to lift up your wife, how to bless your wife, how to, you know, you know, men are true servants in the sense that they serve their wives and they learn. And it takes God to show you how to do that, because it's humanly impossible if your father didn't show you the way, you know, like God, like Jesus, like nobody does it like Jesus does. So he shows you how to serve your wife. And because of that, God's showing you how to serve your wife and love your wife and be a blessing to your wife. That within itself, the servanthood of that, is what's going to make you great. That's the greatness of God in you, learning. Because, man, if you can ever please a woman, dude, you got something going on with God. I shouldn't have said that, right? Here I'm talking about Rebecca tonight. But you know what I'm saying. You know, it takes a man to lay down his life for his wife before she's going to be happy. And that's not a negative thing. That's like the thing that God has put in a woman, is to see her man lay, it's like Jesus. It's just like the church and Jesus. Is it wrong for the church to go, oh, it gave me great pleasure to know that you gave your life for me and you suffered brutally? No, it was a great, it was like the church goes, my God, Jesus gave his life for me. Oh, I will serve him. So what happens? It's not just that Jesus becomes, you know, the great, the servant, but, you know, the person who gave us their life becomes great, but the church becomes great, so we become heirs together of the grace of God. Amen? And it comes to, a woman becomes great because a man serves her in love and lays his life down, learns how to do that. I don't know that I know how to do that very well, but, you know, I'm learning. And you learn how to lay your life down. When you do, that makes you a great servant. Because anybody who can serve a woman, you know, it has to be supernatural, you know, as far as God's way. And once that's accomplished, then that woman becomes happy because, you know, not because, oh, he's serving me. It has to do with the way God made the church and the way God made Jesus to lay his life down for the church. It brought glory in the church, and it brought that unity and that love and that fellowship where the woman ends up loving her husband, you know, because the husband laid his life down. I mean, that's what every woman wants. My God, it's getting deep in here tonight. Woo! Wow. I try to move past it, and I just go deeper. What is that? I don't know. I don't know what that is. Grace of God. Man, that's amazing. What information, dear Jesus. What information? Wow. Turn out the lights, the party's over. Sandra, that was like hilarious. Sandra sent me this text a couple of days ago. She says, Randy, I was just laughing, something like that. I don't have it early, but I was just laughing because, you know, because I think she said she's been praying that herself. I mean, let me look at that. So I won't misquote her. Here we go. Okay, she says, hi, Randy. I was just listening to the communion night again, and I keep laughing to myself because I have prayed those exact words about I will work less and make more, right? Yeah. I even told one of my coworkers that I was praying that prayer. She laughed and said, me too. Isn't that cool? I love that. This is so amazing. I want that also. So I know the word you gave was confirmation. Thanks. Oh, dear God. That is so sweet Jesus stuff, man. Sweet Jesus stuff, y'all. My God. Come on, Lord. Pour it out like a river. And that word, yeah, you know, the word of the Lord is just amazing. I don't know if y'all, I'm amazed at the word of the Lord. I guess because it comes out of my ignorant mouth. I'm like an ignorant fisherman that's getting the intellect of God coming through me. It's just shocking. Because I know I don't deserve it, so to speak, as far as I'm not, you know. I'm not an intellectual, and I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I'm not all the stuff you need to be, you know, according to man. And yet God's just chosen me anyway. It's mind-boggling. Deborah and John, same thing. Got to get this thing, $33. Think for the 33. You got to understand. It's the mind of God in you that leads you and guides you. It's the mind of God in you that causes you to see things, that other people can't see. You guys have a treasure hunter mentality, hunting for treasures. Yeah, and that treasure hunter mentality is in you by God's grace. Because not only hunt for treasures like land and property and people and that kind of thing, but you hunt for treasures in everything. God has made you a treasure hunter to search for the treasures of God. And this year, as you know, if you got my card, my little postcard I sent out, 2022 is the year of treasures. So this is your year. I believe in God. You're 33. For some reason, I know a certain number 33 is important, but hallelujah. And you can't figure this thing out, man. If you try to figure it out, you know that you're not going to line up, be the one firstborn type thing. It's going to be the secondborn. You're the, you know, as far as spiritually speaking, like, you know, I don't have the education. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have all the stuff. Yeah, but you got the mind of God. And the mind of God, you know, the mind of God in you sees treasures and looks for treasures. And the way to get treasures is to give treasures, right? Give the treasure of your heart to God. Giving, lay not up treasures on earth, but lay them up in heaven. In other words, when you do something, do it unto God. Lay the treasures up to God. Do it unto God. When you give, help the poor and needy, or help us, or whoever, who are we helping, you give it unto God. You're doing it unto the Lord. When you buy property, you may even own the property, but you're buying it unto the Lord. Everything you do, you're doing unto Jesus. Because of that, you lay up treasures. It's a treasure room. You guys are treasure hunters and treasure finders. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. That's what you are. That's what you are. Sandra got me off on that song. I mean, I got the song for Sandra, and now I'm like off on it. Yeah. All right, Angie, you barely got it in there. Yes, she did. Turn out the lights. I wish I could sing, man. I would sing, babe. I would be singing. The party's over. My daddy could sing. Thank me all my life. Beautiful heart. All right, 33:30. Okay. All right, Angie. Well, good timing on that. Yeah, beautiful. All right. 30:33, Angie from Virginia. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for those treasures for Angie, God. The treasure that she's been, how she's treasured. Have you treasured the women of God, the men of God? Have you treasured the servants of God? You treasured them. And you're always looking for those who treasure you. And you say, well, that's selfish for somebody to want to be treasured. No, it's not. It's a God thing, especially with a woman. A woman is made to be treasured. When she's treasured, she's going to be the best woman you ever met in your life. Yeah. And that treasure, God has put that desire in you in the prophetic realm, in the spiritual realm, in the authority realm of what you treasure. What you treasure is what you have. Right? You treasure it like Ruth Heflin, you treasure in others. That treasure is, you say, laid up treasures in heaven. So what do you treasure in your heart? Lay up treasures. Whatever your heart treasures, that's what you treasure. Out of the abundance of your heart, what your heart treasures, that's what you end up walking in, living in. Lord, I thank you for the things, the people, the ministry, the calling of Jesus in people's lives, that she has treasured God. She will walk in those treasures, Lamb of God. They are hers. They are her. They belong to her. She is a treasure. You are a treasure, Angie. And God wants you to know that you should not be ever ashamed of wanting to be treasured. It is a God thing. First, be treasured of Him, of course, because He's a jealous God. But then once we satisfy Him in the treasure realm, we treasure Him first, then you know what happens. You know what happens. He gives us the treasures that we treasure. Yeah, so may God bless you with that, the treasures that you treasured. Amen. The beauty of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the power of God. Amen. Paulette, $50. Paulette's looking for a new home. She wants to pray for a guy named Morty. All right, Morty. Let me pray for Morty tonight, God. We thank you a lot, God, that Morty's eyes are opened up to what a true love is, what true love is, what a true servant is, what a true friend is. That he will know friendship when he sees it, true friendship, and how he needs true friendship. In Jesus' name, God has called us to have friends. That's why even Moses, God of Moses and Abraham, was called friends of God. Why is that so? Why is that brought up in the Bible? Just being friends. We have a thing in us to be friends. And true friends, are hard to find. And so I thank you, Lord, for opening up Morty's eyes to what a true friend is, that he will see it and know it, recognize it, know that that's going to feed him and nurture him in a way that he's never known before. Amen, with such love. And Paul is praying for a new home. Thank you, Lord, for that new home. Thank you for that new place being delivered to them, that it will be delivered to you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Paulette, for the $50, by the way. Thank you for that. And that God will deliver that into your hands in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Open up the river of God. Open up that place. Nurture them, feed them, God, and show them the unlimited power of your wealth, the wealth of giving. Your covenant, the covenant that we have with you is exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think or even imagine, for a new home in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, Nikki and Charles, $50. Pray for our health. All right, health issues, healthy. Yeah, as we get older, we can have health issues anytime, but as we start getting older, those things do creep up, and so we learn to depend on God more and more all the time. Thank God for good doctors. Thank God for a good God that we serve. We thank you, Lord, for that $50, that you bless them, that you nurture them, God, that you show them how to eat of the Word of God, eat of the heavenly bread of Jesus, eat of the communion bread of the Lamb of God, eat of His body and drink of His blood. God, that they activate, showing them at a deeper level how to activate the covenants of God for their health, God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. They fight the good fight. Well, they're not having to fight the fight of their health, amen, amen. In Jesus' name, bless them with that, God, and open up your covenant, dear Jesus, for them at a deeper level, in Jesus' name, the covenant of God, amen, amen. Bless them, God. Amen. Martine, thank you, Lord, for Martine tonight, God, at 5177. Bless you, Martine, in Jesus' name. Good to talk to you the other night. You're your mama, your sweet mama. What an anointing on that girl. My gosh. That girl's got an anointing on her. People said that after, I think you might have hung up, but I forget who it was I had on the show after that, but they said, man, it might have been Cheryl, what I remember it was, but man, the anointing on her. Yeah. You got a good heritage, girl. Good heritage. She's saying God's going to about to expand that heritage to fulfill it and make it even greater than what you could even imagine. In Jesus' name, expand her heritage, God. That anointing, that hundredfold, that Martine is going to walk in the hundredfold blessing, the full blessing of God. Amen. In the end times, we're going to walk in the full blessing of God. We're going to have to, because of the nature of things. What's going to go on, and God's opening up the hundredfold, because we're in that. The last hour represents the opening of the door of the hundredfold. In other words, the fullness of the glory of God to not only make it through the hard times, but to be more than a conqueror through it. To successfully go through the great tribulation, successfully, with the power of God. Amen, as you say. All right, Daniel, $100. Thank you, Daniel, for that $100. We bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for those divine appointments, God. Thank you for divine appointments, God. Thank you for meeting and nurturing his heart. God wants to nurture your heart. He wants to cause your heart to be nurtured. There's things in you. Sometimes there's only, you know, I keep talking about the friends of God tonight, but when God brings you a friend, that person has the ability to nurture your heart, because true friendship in Jesus nurtures your heart, Daniel, like nothing else. So that's why it is such a treasure when we find the friends of God. Wow, it is like, oh, my God, because they nurture your heart from a friendship of God relationship. And when that's going on, man, it is wow. So bless him with that, God. Bless his money. Bless his finances, God. But more than anything, bless his friendship, grandfather, for that. Because sometimes what happens is God gives, we have a need to have friends, true friends of God, because they nurture a part of us that no one else can. We can have, you know, friends in the flesh, friends this, friends that. But the friends of God have an ability to nurture us with the friendship of God in our relationship, where the world just nurtures us with the friendship of the world. It's empty and dry. But the one with the friendship of God is fulfilling and satisfying and blessed forever. Amen. All right, Enrique, $100. Amen. Prayer ESW Auto says $50. Then her children, Tariq, Tarek, and Chris, $15. Enrique, $15. Thank you, God, for that pastoral, that shepherd's anointing, God. That God, that the shepherd, I see this shepherd Jesus, Enrica, just holding, overshadowing you with his wings. Amen. So that what happens is that when the sun comes out and begins to bake and cook people, or they start to, you know, they go to, you know, it says in the last days that the sun's going to be so hot that it's going to burn people. But those that are protected and have the shepherd and the wings of the shepherd overshadowing you, that it causes, what happens is the fire of God, the sun, the trial, the tribulation, because the heat without the shade of God's wings literally causes those other businesses, those other things to dry up. Literally to dry up. And because you're protected, you come out of it nurtured and blessed. If that makes sense. Hallelujah. In the name of the angels, wings of God, the wings of the eagle, the wings of God, that provision, nurturing power of the shepherd Jesus over in Drica and ESW Auto Sales at the $50. Thank you, God, for that anointing of the shepherd. That ESW Auto Sales will be known as a shepherd, having a shepherd's heart. They care about people, the shepherd people. They get shepherded when they come in. Amen. Loved. Cared for. True servants of God. All right, Tariq, $10. Thank you, Tariq. Lord, bless Tariq tonight, God. Show him the uniqueness inside of him, the unique things that he has, simply because he's Tariq and there's no other Tariq in the whole globe. Tariq is not going to shape and form himself to be anybody else. We enjoy all of our. Here, Tariq, you know, when you truly are a unique person, you learn. The beauty of that is that you learn to value the uniqueness of others. You know, man, you are so unique. I wish I could be unique like you, but you are unique like them. You have this, and so the uniqueness of Tariq is, you know, we don't become arrogant because we value the uniqueness of others. When you have your own uniqueness, you see the uniqueness of others and you respond to it, you react to it, and you love it and value it and appreciate it. And therefore, you become a great friend in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open that up, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Understanding of that. in the name of you, being your unique self. Hallelujah. Torrey, $10. Thank you, Torrey. God, I thank you for the blessing of the love of God, of the ability to break bread and share it with people, to share information, to share love, to share food, that Torrey will just be a food, he's just a food person. When he gets around people, they feel fed. When they walk away, they feel fed. Like you feed me. Just by being who you are, you feed me. By being what God's called you to be, you feed me. Yeah, in Jesus' name, draw them in, God. Let Torrey feed people. Let him break the bread and feed your people, in Jesus' name. Chris, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. I thank you, Lord, for the broken parts of Chris, God, that we all have brokenness inside of us. And I thank you, Lord, for not just repairing it, but making it brand new. Chris, God wants to make things in you brand new, not just repair them. He wants to make them brand new. God is a creator. Amen. Not that he can't, you know, but even when God takes an old body and makes it new, I mean, he makes it new. Yeah, he knows how to make it new. So I don't know how to explain that, but that's how God does stuff. So in Jesus' name, hallelujah. I mean, we're not trying to just fix things so it'll go on and last another few more months. But once God wants to make new. In Jesus' name. Behold, all things become new. Make the new realm. Let it open him up, his eyes up to the how you do the new thing, God. Even though when I got born again, behold, all things became new, the Bible says. But I looked in the mirror and I still have my same body, basically. Same hair, my same eyes. I looked better. But it was still me, but I was still a new person. So open his eyes to that God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right, Andrika, $15. Thank you, Andrika. Thank you, Lord, for that shepherd in her, God, that shepherds, that mothers, that shepherd, the mother and the shepherd in her. In Jesus' name, raise it up, God, to feed and nurture your people, care and love and friendship, God, that you nurture people through her in that friendship realm. In Jesus' name, that she feels like she can just be friends with people. Hallelujah. Open the gate or la para. Let it bless her business. Let it bless her. Let it be an opportunity for ministry. Let the prophet rise up within her, God, in Jesus' name. You begin to speak over people, not even really realize what she's doing, saying things that God says through her in the name of Jesus to confirm to them that they are, you know, a person of God, the people of God. Open it up, that divine appointment, God, in Jesus' name, where the gifts of the Spirit flow, the shepherd in her connects to those gifts without even really trying to, just praying and asking God, let the gifts flow. The gifts are for service, for being a servant. They're for service. And like, just open up a shop and, you know, a change the oil shop or something, and you don't have anything, any place to change, or you have any tools. That's what the gifts are. The gifts are the tools. It's the you know, the things that we actually change the oil and fix the car with. And without that, we don't have anything. So I thank you, Lord, for it. It's to serve. Gifts of God are like tools to serve and repair and fix things and tighten things up and make things, you know, work right. All right, Regina, $100. Thank you, Regina. Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father, for that fascination with life. She has a fascination with life. She wants to see people live. She wants to see them live life. Not just live half-heartedly, not just live kind of like barely making it, but to live their life to the fullest. God, and I thank you, Lord, for that servant heart you've given her, God, that wants to help people live their life to the fullest. It's just so thankful when people get happy and get breakthroughs and get feel. In Jesus' name, she has a passion to see people live their life to the fullest. And God, that's the servant part of you, Regina, that wants to see people live their life to the fullest. That doesn't want them to come short. You grieve over people coming short of the Lord. You grieve over that. That's a God thing. That's not just some weakness you have. That's a grieving God in you, loving people, shepherding people, causing them to see, you know, their shortcomings so they can realize that God fixed all that. He made it all brand new. Well, we don't have to come short. Amen. And that heart in you that prays that and believes that, wants that for your children, for everybody. Amen. I really believe, I've had people just recently who were like enemies to me who became my friends who are my enemies. That just happened to me recently. Yeah, it's recently. Really amazing. Hallelujah. And I'm so grateful to God. We'd rather have that than God judge them or deal. You know, I'd rather have, it's much more glory. The glory is greater when your enemies, you know, don't get judged and condemned and all that. And, you know, and lose this and lose that. I mean, it's better when we get it right, we make it right, we become friends with each other. That's the beauty. That's the greatest, highest glory. Is that I hate it when I hear that God's dealing with people because they're too hard-hearted to fix anything. Repent, change. That's sad. Makes me sad. It's happy am I when they become your friends just get things worked out. It's amazing the glory of God in that. All right, Carmen, I already prayed with it. Carmen, thank you. All right, Donald and Tanya, 138. Thank you, Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you for blessing. I can't wait. Donald said he's got a testimony. I prophesied over him in January that he was going to have no longer going to be under somebody else's salary, but he's going to have his own provision, in work and business. And, you know, he's like, well, okay, whatever. You know, and then I think 3 months later, something like that, 3 weeks later, yeah, 3 weeks later, 2 or 3 weeks later, it happened. They fired him. They let him go. In other words, they let him go. And what God did, God was giving him a promotion. And now, so he's got into his new thing. And he said, I got a testimony. If I can ever stay awake and give it to you. So we got a good testimony there with Donald and Tanya. I can't wait to hear it whenever we can get him to be awake. And share it. Hallelujah. God bless you. You know, guys, you're blessed and favored. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the love you've shown them. For the love you've shown them, God. For the provision you've shown them. For the care you've shown them. When they're battling and struggling, your love over them, your care, your banner over them is love. Your banner over them is love. Love provides. Love blesses. Love opens up. Love helps us in the midst of our struggles, Lord. Love. And compassion, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Open up that place, dear Jesus, of freedom, a brand new freedom in their financial arena. Brand new freedom, God. Hallelujah. That their eyes will not no longer be in the limited realm, but in the unlimited realm, in Jesus' name. Even if sometimes things look limited, it's like God was breaking you free from that in January. From the limited realm to the unlimited realm. That's what he was breaking you free from. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Carver's saying, he said, Randy, when you shared about Moses, well, it was either yesterday or today, a thought came to me about being called Grandma Moses. Wow. I kid you not. I thought that was strange. Interesting. That is interesting. Wow, God is good. God is so good, y'all. I mean, this is amazing. God is good. All right. So I don't know why I'm reading that with Donald and Tanya on the line here or on the pray for their offering, but thank you, Jesus, for Donald and Tanya. That provider in them, that wealth realm, God, that you open that up for them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The transfer of wealth, Father, the gold and the silver and the cloth, and Jesus, and walk out of Egypt, walk out of the world system with provision for a new thing, a brand new thing, a whole new currency, a whole new system, a whole new thing, God. You called them to be a part of that. Hallelujah. Like what happened with Moses. Amen. Tanya, too. In Jesus' name, let that be done. All right, Nicole, $360. Thank you, Nicole. Part of that was tithe. The other offering, I think, 12 something was a tithe. Or the offering, I think, 12, maybe 14. I can't remember. First, it was a tithe. Thank you, Nicole. If you think Nicole does our shows on Sundays, and it's like Carmen does them on Saturdays. Let's see. So Nicole does them on Sundays at noon, and then Tuesdays, 4 o'clock. Amen. So make sure and connect into that. She tells you what she's teaching. She's teaching the book of Revelation. And so it's very interesting. And what a great timing on that. that God did. I did not have a clue she was into that. Didn't have a clue. Never knew it. She totally surprised me. Hey, you think I could teach the Book of Revelation on PGN? I go, of course. You know, like, I didn't even know what she'd be into, you know. And a lot of you can get into a lot of things with the Book of Revelation. So a lot of things to be into. So I was like going, okay, what area are you in? You know, it just so happened she's in the same general department that I've been in as far as the belief system, which just really was amazing, I thought. And I thank you, Lord, for that, that you lead her and you guide her, God, in spite of thinking, am I doing anything? Am I going anywhere? Am I getting anywhere? God, that your covenant promises are coming to pass for her, God, in Jesus' name. And she cannot miss it. She cannot miss it because she's already given her will over to it. Therefore, you know, Jesus couldn't miss the will of God. You cannot miss the will of God. People say, oh, I can miss the will of God. No, not once you've given your will, because you know what? The times that we do struggle in battle, because we've given our will to the Father already, he already has our will. He takes our will and starts putting stuff in there against our will, sort of, if you will. Now, he can't make us do it, but he can put things in there because we've given him our will. Therefore, he can work things into our will without our permission. You know why? Because we gave him permission. That's why he had permission. So I shouldn't say he didn't have permission, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, that's the thing that God knew, that when he had us give our, not my will, but thy will be done, when Jesus did that, you know, he got, if you will, the hook in his jaw, and as far as doing God's will and God's purposes, there was no way he could not have done the will of God. No way. Why? Because he had already given his will to the Father. It was already a done deal. So it was just a matter of working the details out and coming to the, you know, to the fork in the road and choosing or being chosen, what you've been chosen to do. That's what happens. What you've been chosen to do chooses you to do it. And you because God gets you and he says, hey, man, why don't you just give your will over to me? Do what? Give my will over to you? Yeah, just give me your will. And then once he got it, he's like, man, gotcha. Paul the Apostle talks about that. He said, the one who took hold of me, right? I can't remember that scripture. Philippians, I think, somewhere says, to the God who took hold of me. In other words, he had very little to do because Jesus knocked him off his way. He wasn't praying for Jesus to come into his life. He was persecuting Jesus. Jesus took a hold of him, man. If he knew that Paul wanted the right thing, he knew it. He'd given God his will in a very unusual way, I guess. And so God just took advantage of it, said, okay, you gave me your will, so guess what? I got it. And I'm gonna take you, and I'm going to take you places that you don't even know where you're going to go, but you're going to go there. I'm going to take you there. All right, Shannon, $10. Thank you, Shannon. Will you ask God to help me make a connection and set me up in a way that I know it's him, to give me the confidence, sociability, that I'm approachable, and whatever else I need that I can't see. Okay, good prayer. Yeah, amen. Thank you for that $10, my brother, in Jesus' name. We thank the Lord for opening up his heart, God. Showing him, just like I told you my thing, you know, I wasn't able to be sociable. I can be friendly, but not sociable. And I know that doesn't sound like the same thing, but for me it was. I just didn't know how to be social. I didn't know how to be friendly. I could be sociable in a sense, but not friendly sociable. Just like, hi, how are you? And I sit there and, hope I could find somebody to talk to that I could talk to, because I wasn't very good at talking or sharing my life or, you know, being friendly. I was not unfriendly. I just didn't know how to be friendly. And God just miraculously did it, man. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Thank you, Jesus, for the miracle working power of God in Shannon's life. God, open him up, dear Jesus, to the river of your favor. In Jesus' name, to that place, God, where you take over his life. When if you listen to the word I just gave, to, I think, Nicole, about once you give your will to God and you truly give it, and sometimes we say, not my will, but that will, and we don't really mean it. We kind of mean it, but we don't really mean it. When you diligently search after and seek after God and diligently give your will over God, diligently, then he rewards those who diligently seek him and diligently give their will over. right, you know what he gives you? You know what the reward is? He puts a hook in your jaw, and you walk in the will of God no matter what. Yeah, no matter what. You may fight it. You're like a fish when you're going fishing. They fight getting in that boat. They don't want to get in your boat. They don't want to get in your ice chest. That's for sure. But, you know, most of the time, if you hook them right, they're going to be reeled in. So, Lord, we thank you for reeling it in. And Jesus, reeling Shannon in, reeling him in, God, the right place, the right time, the connectivity and the sociability in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done, God, right now by the power of God. I'm still hung up on turning up the lights. The party's over. That was a different one tonight. Turn up the lights. The party's over. Yeah, that was unusual. Sure. All right, you guys. I mean, gosh, it's only 11. It's 11:30, and I'm finished already. Wow. Pray for Jeff and Yuki. They are in Thailand. Pray for them. Jeff was thrown up and had some kind of flu or something. Got some. Corona something, or they don't know exactly what he had, but it looked like coronavirus. And so pray for them. He's doing okay. He's doing good now. But yeah, pray for them and pray that God blesses them, give them favor on their Thailand. They connect with the people they need to connect with and be protected and kept from the structures and plans of the enemy, the liar, the thief. Amen. We pray over them. We ask God to bless them, keep them, watch over them. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Wow. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. All right. All right. Nicole's giving 777. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise God. Give me a second. All right, offering, yes, thank you, Jesus. 777, thank you, Lord, for the completion. You know, when I think of 777, you know, I don't prophesy by numbers when people give like that, but except sometimes it does. You know, I just do whatever I get in my spirit. So 777, Lord, for, you know, like I prophesied over you earlier, Nicole, about your will being, you know, when you give your will over to the will of God, you know, even if we still have resistance sometimes because we don't understand things, right? We don't know. It might go this way. So sometimes we resist. God's trying to reel us in, and we're like going, okay, wait a minute. And that twine on the string of God is getting tighter and tighter and getting tighter and tighter. And we're, I'm not sure about that. I don't know. You know, but it's just too late, man. That's the beauty of it all. It's that God, once he gets us hooked, he finishes it. He perfects it. 777, he does his perfect will, the perfect plan of God, the perfect plan. Because we can walk in all kinds of plans of God. God has, you know, good, acceptable, perfect will of God. If you don't believe that, you have to believe that. That or you think most people are just going to go to hell. Because there's people out there, you know, good and well. They're no more walking in the perfect will of God. They're just getting along, barely shaking along, you know. And that's it. They're barely skating along. You know that. I know that. And so you think God's going to cast them in hell because they're not, you know, the perfect will of God. No. No, God is gracious and merciful and kind, man. If you're truly born again, you can walk in the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Some people, I don't even know if they make it to the good and acceptable. Maybe just the acceptable. Like, is that acceptable, but barely, you know, only because they're born again, right? So, but once you give your will to the will of God, you know, like Jesus, like, here's the thing, Nicole. You know, when Abraham offered up Isaac, which I talk about that a lot, it's so amazing how that it says his faith, I read the scripture, how his faith was perfected. What perfected his faith? Perfect faith, seven, the number seven, perfect faith. how do you do that? It comes to you know, first, the first thing God asked most Abraham to do was leave his mother and father, right? Go to a place that he would, you know, that was the first thing. So that was like the first level of perfecting his faith. And then it came to another thing and another thing and another thing and a whole bunch of things till it came to Isaac offering up his own son. And that was the height of perfecting his faith so that God could hook in and get Jesus Christ into the Jewish realm and nobody could stop it. That's what 777. The perfect will of God was done through Jesus Christ, by getting Jesus Christ, by using Abraham to get that seventh, that perfect will of God done. That the hook in the jaw through Abraham's obedience and brought it in there. Reeled it in. And brother, when he reeled it in, he really reeled it in. All right? So we got to remember that. Not by works of righteousness, as far as salvation goes. Now, your works in God perfect your faith. Amen. And though God has his hook in our jaw, you know, he doesn't have it. No, I don't know how to say this, but it's not like not everybody has a hook in the jaw. Hook in the jaw is you going fervently, diligently seeking God and saying, God, not my will, but thy will be done. You can have my will, God. Just do whatever you want. And it's a trusting, it's a moment of trust. It's a moment of death to self. It's a moment of, dear God, I don't know what to do. I don't know. You're lost. You know what's going on. You're like, dear God, I just trust you. I know I love you. You love me. And I'm going to trust you because I know you love me more than I love me. Therefore, I can give you my will and trust you. And then even though it's against our will, we gave our will to God. So it's just like, too late. That's one of God's strategies, you know. And of course, you have to, you know, come to that place and yield it to God completely before that happens. But then he starts reeling you into this plan, and it has to be done. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. Nothing. Because he gave me his will, even though you may not agree with his, the way he's reading you in. But too late. Too late, baby, now it's too late. Yeah, because God's will is going to be done, man. Getting that will over to God is the safest place you can be. Getting there is tough. Getting there is, wow, mind-boggling. Sometimes, you know, just overwhelming circumstances that God allows to happen to you so you will yield that will. Once you got that will, he's like, okay, got him, guys. Finally got him. Like Abraham when he offered Isaac. Okay, that was it. Got him. Hooked. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Just reel it in. Set the bait. The bait was trusting me because I know you can't understand it all, so I have to get you hooked on your will and then reel you in even if you don't agree with it all. We're not ever going to understand it all. How can you agree with it all if you don't understand it all? You're not going to be able to, it's a trust thing. It's a trust thing. Trust is not being able to understand, you know, all the purposes, all the things. Now, how can you do that? You know that person. They're not worthy of this. They're not worthy of that. Well, maybe to you they're not worthy, but to me they've been proven and they're worthy. Done deal. Call it done. Amen. All right, y'all. I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. It's only 11:40. Wow, that's early. But, you know, I think I'm just getting better at praying maybe. I'm not sure what it is. God's just good. Turn up the lights. I guess we're going to turn up the lights. The party's over. At least this part of the party. Awesome, man. Pray for Nikki and Charles about their health. You know, God is good, and he's a good God, and his love is penetrating, flowing through, opening up, and we're eating the revelation of the Word of God. Amen. I can give it, but we have to eat. You have to eat it. has to be eaten by God's people, has to be meditated on. And that's why Paul told Timothy to meditate. That's why God told Joshua to meditate on the word. So Timothy, Paul told Timothy to meditate on the prophecies. Meditating means, you know, God gave it, but are you meditating it? And if you're not, just do it. Ask God to help you do it. I have to ask God to help me. I don't know how to do it either. The grace of God. All right, I'm going to call it a night. Nobody else is giving right now, as far as I can see. So we're going to call it a night tonight. Thank you for everything tonight. Let me check the app. I'm sure there's some more there. Turn out the lights. All right. Pray for the building. Pray for the studio. It's still up. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Thank you. Thanks for everybody for everything. We forgot Noel. Did we pray over Noel? I don't think we prayed over Noel. Did we pray over Noel? Noel, $100. Thank you, Noel. I don't know. Noel didn't text me. Noel, I don't think we prayed over you. I think I just realized. I think the Holy Ghost just told me, like, your name just flashed out there. Or maybe he wants to speak up. Yeah, we didn't pray over Noel. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Noel, this is special. When these things happen, to be the last, last shall be first. At this moment, it was almost my mistake. Maybe an act of God can be your behalf or something. So I thank you, Lord, for a new place, that you bring her to a new home, a new place. I don't know if it's a physical home. I'm not sure what he's talking about. A new dwelling place with God. A new home, a new dwelling place with God. In Jesus' name, I see a whole new purpose for you, unveiling, God, satisfying the thing in you of purpose, because that with purpose, the purposes of God give us every reason to lay our lives down for him. That's what the purpose of God is. It puts in you the reasoning of laying your life down. You're willing to lay your life down for him. I don't know about just physically dying for him only. That's part of the package, but it is about laying your life down for him and saying, God, you know, I can't fight the battles. You know, I don't know what to do. I have no control. Sometimes God puts the control out of our hands so that we can put the control into his hands. That's what he's done with me many times. He puts everything out of my control, like my inheritance is out of my control. My sister's handling that. And my parents have been dead for 2 years, and I haven't heard much of anything. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And, you know, and the reason that I haven't pursued it is because of my fivefold calling only. If it wasn't for that, I'd be hot on the trail, I would guess. God. But he took me to a whole other dimension because of my fivefold ministry calling. And I've even talked about this several years ago on the show about the inheritance of the Levites. The priests have a different inheritance. And so that's my calling. I even tested God on that. God, am I really called to the fivefold? You know, I'll preach for you. I'll talk. I'll share. I'll move in the gifts. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I don't have to be a five. I don't have to have none of that stuff. I don't even care about any of that. But, you know, but there's reasons why you ask God. And when he answered me and told me I was, you know, I was kind of like sort of surprised, because I don't really feel like I'm a leader. I feel like I'm more of a follower. And literally, I realized what that was going to lead me to. So thank you, Jesus, for Noel, God. I thank you, Father, for her heart, God, to that she has no control. And not having control means that we walk on the water. Because when you walk on water, you're not under control when you're walking on the water. And you're a water walker girl. That's what you are. That's what you're called to. You're called to walk on the water. Okay, so she's listening. Okay. Oh, I didn't even know you'd ask me about your donation. I didn't see that. I, honest to God, did not see that. Jesus is my witness. Well, just, yeah, at 11:30, she says, did you get my donation? Everybody knows I go down about the dollar amounts, right? Somebody gives $30, I go from 30 to 40 to 50 to 100 to 300 to whatever. And she's going like, maybe it didn't go through or something. No, it went through, girl. I even had it written down there. Yeah, you see what happened with that was that God, like that got out of God, that got out of my, in other words, I'm ready to end the show. If you've been listening, I thought maybe you might have fell asleep or something. Now that I know you're listening, you heard what I was going to close up. That's it. I prayed to everybody, going to go bye-bye, and like your name stuck out. Because I have them all down there in a line. You know, I could send you a picture of how I have them, but they're just like, they're in order. Andrea, Shalonda, Barbara, Sally, Carmen, Chris, Sandra, Marie, Angela, you know, right down the line with the amounts, most of the time with the amounts. And, you know, and I had you right there. I saw it when it came in. I go, oh, there's Noel. Okay. I've typed it in there. And then I'm getting ready to go. And your name, and I just kind of, you know, I got all these things packed together. It's like 24, 25 people given tonight, something like that, 26. Because husband and wife, maybe a little more than that. But, you know, and so they're all packed together. And all of a sudden, you know, your name just stuck out. They go, Lord, if you didn't pray for Noel, I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't pray for Noel. And then it turned into this moment, if you're hearing this thing about being out of control of not being able to control, you know, like if you were ahead, if you were running the inheritance thing, like if I'd have been running mine, you know, I think I would have been fair with everybody. I think I would have been, even if you'd been a donkey all your life, you know, I probably would have been nice, and, you know, giving you your share without giving you any trouble about it. But that wasn't what was happening with me. I mean, I guess I can just say it right out front that they totally just walked right around me in every way. I didn't get nothing, not a thing. My parents had, you know, some money and some stuff. I had a house, beautiful, very expensive house, nice. You know, people say, you know, it was a very, very nice house in a very nice part of town. And I didn't get nothing. I mean, they like, and the Lord is like, it's like I'm going like, okay, God, you told me I was a priest. Is that what that means? And I said, what do you want me to do? He said, just leave it to me. Don't even do anything. You see, and I counsel people on their inheritance. I tell them, sometimes I tell people, I said, go after it. Like David, you know, went after it. And I tell them, you know, God said, go after it. So I'm all for, you know, I'm whatever God wants to do. And I mean, they totally just said, oh, we'll send you some information. This has been 2 years ago or long, however long it's been, when my mom passed away finally. That's when it was complete, right? Never sent me anything, not one thing. No information, no we're going to meet, nothing. Nothing. I've never talked about this before. I don't think. And like this, nothing. I was completely out of control. I'd have no control of the situation. And God wouldn't let me take control. Some people, I tell him, take control of the situation. Go after the situation. Some people, God tells me to tell them other things. I never know what God's going to tell me to do. Sometimes I just leave it up to them and see what God says. You know, so I never know. But my inheritance from the Lord, God says to me, because my situation is different, like, choose you what you want, Randy. You can go after it. You can get your money. You can get your stuff. You can get part of the house. You can get it. My mother was a perfectionist. She was a creative, you know, her house during Christmas time was like going into a fairy tale land. Oh, I mean, it was amazing. The money they spent on it. My mother was, she loved all of it. She was, spent lots and lots of money on stuff. And I mean, it's like, you know, and I didn't get, no, I got a shotgun from my father. I got my shotgun right behind me in the closet here. Shotgun, when we should go hunting, quail hunting. That isn't one of my shotguns. And the one I wanted, I didn't get. They just gave me whatever was left. Oh, for honest to God, that's why they gave me what was left over. I'm just really ratting out tonight, man. This is what you did to me, Noel, by being my last, my almost missing. Now I'm telling stories I shouldn't be telling, probably. But God says, you know, just like you have no control over it. I have no control over mine. And God wouldn't let me do it. He said, you can, but choose. You know, I already told you what your inheritance is. Me. He said, you can have that, you know, as a priest, as a five-fold ministry person, or you can have that, and you can have it, and it'd be fine. Nothing wrong with it. It's yours. It belongs to you in the natural realm. And I'm going, and I never, honest to God, I never said a word. Never. They kept doing things to provoke me to say things and do things. You know what? And I kind of started to. I kind of was going to head in that direction, and the Lord said, Randy, do not do that because you feel like it. You know, it's just part of your sin in the natural. Look in the spirit realm and know my calling in your life. Know my calling in your life. And he had already told me this before way before my mother died. I say, wait, 2 or 3 or 4 years before my mother died, but my God showed me that whole thing in the scripture, and I saw it all, and I go, like, why are you showing me this? I didn't have a clue why he was showing me. I'm really talking tonight, y'all. I can't believe I'm doing this. So when my mom died, went to the funeral and stuff, you know, they sent me a text. We're going to send you some information. Make sure I have the right address. You know, I confirmed it, you know. I wasn't going to tell them don't send it, right? I wasn't going to say that. It belonged to me. And so years later, year and a half, like however long it's been, nothing, not one thing. Nothing. And the Lord says, yeah, inheritance is extremely important. God even told his people to leave your children an inheritance. It's extremely important. It's in the Bible. God said to do it. It's a God thing. And it grieves the heart of God when stuff gets messed up. It grieves the heart of God. It's not right when things get messed up. I've dealt with this with several people. Many people, actually. I say many, several people. Yeah. And so when God told me my inheritance was him because of my fivefold ministry calling, you know, then the choice he gave me was, you know, either you let me, I'll be your inheritance and I'm going to bless you. Listen to this, girl. He told me I will bless you way above what anybody can ever do. That no man, like Abraham, that no man can make me rich. Noel, no man can make me rich. Only God. That's what he told me. Because of my fivefold ministry calling. Now, but the inheritance in the natural realm, you know, that's a whole different thing. But I'm not in that category. I'm not in that category. So my situation is even greater than anybody else's who has a great inheritance coming. My situation, my inheritance from the Father is the wealth of not only financial wealth and blessing, which, you know, but is the wealth of my calling, the glory of the calling of God in my life. Yeah. And so if you're not in the fivefold ministry specifically called like I am, then that inheritance realm, it's the same thing. In the natural realm, your parents, that inheritance belongs to you and it's a God thing. It's a God thing. And so when people do whatever they want to do, they don't understand what they're doing. They're messing with God's wealth. that belongs to another person. And when you do that, yeah, when you do that, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what happens. Because Judas betrayed Jesus with money, I've never talked about this before, because Judas betrayed Jesus and it had to do with any time you mess around a man of God or the servant of the Lord with, and it's a money situation and you rob them of, you know, God's blessing is that God tells you to give and to do it. And then you rob that person, you rob God, and then not only you robbing God, but you're robbing that man of God or that woman of God of the blessing. You know what happens? Oh, the Judas thing, because he betrayed with money, over money. That's why he was bound for hell. Not that every person that does that's bound for hell. I'm not saying that. He betrayed him with money, over money. And when you do something over money, the love of money is the root of all things. You open yourself up to God knows whatever God, only God knows their true motive and intention. And whatever their true intention is and motive is, God will deal with them according to their motive and intention. But as we give it to the Lord, which, you know, several people that I've dealt with have done that successfully. And, you know, as I've done mine successfully, because the Lord said, choose, what do you want? You want my inheritance as a five-fold ministry person, or you want your national inheritance? Which one do you want? And of course, my inheritance has to do not just with money only, definitely money, but it has to do with the wealth of my calling and the purpose of my calling being, I want to do it 100%, 100-fold. I want to walk in my calling, not be barely making it, not almost making it, not making it pretty good. I want to make it all the way. I want it all. I want everything. I want everything. So what God has already blessed me with, has already blessed me with in ministry, not personally, in ministry, it's already exceeding, you know, stuff. So, and it's just begun. God says, I'll bless you, Randy. I'm going to bless you. It's like Abraham told them, you know, nah, I'm not going to take that because, you know, in other words, in my situation, I didn't go after it, which I could have, and caused a lot of trouble with it, you know. But the Lord says, you know, just like Abraham, you know, you're going to let some man say he made you rich, or you're going to let me make you rich? Rich with purpose, rich with glory, rich with your full inheritance. When Abraham offered up Isaac, he tapped into God's full inheritance. He didn't come short of the glory because God prepared him. His faith was perfected, and his full inheritance was done through him offering up Isaac. That's what opened up the full inheritance. Amen. Yeah. So this is an amazing thing. So my situation is completely different from other people, as far as outside the five-fold ministry. And I'm not sure about all five-fold ministry people, whether God just did that. I can't say. I'm not against people for being five-fold ministry and going after their inheritance. I'm not, whatever God says, I'm not against any of it. I have nothing to do with any of it. I don't have no judgment on anybody. That's just what God spoke to me, and he gave me a choice. If they would have just given it to me without any trouble, that would have been different. But to make me have to go after it, that's when God said, you know, what I just said. So God is good. So when we're out of control, in other words, when we have, not out of control, like in a bad way, but when we don't have any control over something, God, that's what opens up the door for God to be able to control the situation, because We give God complete control because we have no control. What can we do? Nothing. So what do? God uses it to get us to yield control to him. And when he does it, man, he deals with stuff. Oh, my God. He deals with stuff. Dear God. Five-fold ministry or not, doesn't make a difference. God still deals with it, especially when it's betrayal in a money situation. That intensifies the measure of God's dealing with those people. And it comes suddenly, and when it happens, it's too late. You can't change it. That's because the devil keeps lying to him, well, you're getting by with it, you're getting by with it, you're getting by with it. And then all of a sudden, sudden destruction comes, and they can't, and then it's too late. People say, well, how can you preach a too late message about things? Because sometimes it's too late. They think they've gotten by with it, and 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 gotten by with it. And once they think they've got, about the time they think they've really gotten by with it, and they're kind of starting to lay back and rest, and sudden destruction comes on them, and it's too late, and boom, boom. I mean, I could tell you circumstances that were just horrific and in tears, weeping over what happens to some of these people that have done this stuff with money, especially with money. Oh, it's just devastating. And you want God to protect you, but you're kind of like going, man. But you realize God is a just God, so the way he deals with situations, knowing that he's a just God, you can't say, God, that was really rough on that person. That was really rough. And God goes, you don't know their motive and you don't know their intention, Randy. They had given themselves over to evil. And that's how I judged them, was according to their intention and their motivation. And then money just multiplies it. Okay, anyway, and because we're out of, because we have no control over something, like I didn't, you know, then God takes control and God does something. So how's God controlling my situation? Opening up the full glory of my calling. Open up the full glory and the studio and all, whatever God does, the studio and all that, the land, the property, the millennium and all that, you know, it's going to be, you know, like I'm going to be ruling over several cities, it looks like. Something like that. I don't know. I don't have a word on that. But you see what I'm saying? So being faithful and loyal to God. Yeah. All right, Nicole, Noel. Okay, Noel. So you got the last word. Wow. Thank you. You're so welcome. Yeah. It forces us to give the control to God. That's what it does. And that's the beauty of it all. We need those circumstances. Troubles are our greatest blessing because they cause us to yield over things that we normally would not. Amen. It's happened to me many times. All right, I'm going to call it a night tonight, y'all. It's been great. Thank you. I hope I didn't share too much because I feel like I shared a little bit more than I wanted to, but I did it. I do it for the sake of the body of Christ, not to shame people. Yeah, believe me. And God will take care of it. Trust me. He does. All right, good night. Bye-bye. Thank you.